The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ridley on a counter, takes the handoff, runs through a big hole. Steven Ridley racing across the 35. Ridley in a foot race to midfield. Three Eagles chasing him as Ridley slants left inside the 25 and is brought down from behind.
Andy Hart.
Brady with a play fake and a deep drop and a throw down the middle for Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Paul Perillo.
Throw by Glennon to the near side, picked off by Logan Ryan. It'll be a pick six. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. He's got a touchdown, Patriots!
Eric Scalavino.
Heavy stack on the left side for the pass from a tight formation. Mallet with a play fake and a deep drop, looking long, firing down the left side for Josh Boyce. He's in the end zone. He's got a touchdown, Patriots!
PFW in Progress.
Mallet, again, Ryan off the shotgun snap on first and 10. Stands tall, rifles down the middle for Sutfeld. Ball back into the air, trying to make a diving catch, and he did! Touchdown, Patriots!
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what? That's my first chance to really hear Bob Soucy, because we're always at the game, and he's pretty good.
That's the first I heard him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Gil Santos, but it's Bob Soucy, Soucy, can you say, and he's pretty good. I like it.
It's not Gil Santos. I knew every play, what actually happened.
Well, that's the only thing. I'm going to reserve judgment. I need to see the pictures to make sure that it matched up with the words, because I've been deceived by that stuff in the past.
Right. No, but he sounds good. I like it.
Like Bob.
Welcome
Works
to
really
PFW
hard.
In Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. No, it isn't. It's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. But it's our first regular season broadcast of PFW in Progress. So we're excited to be back on Wednesdays. As we will
sort of regular
throughout
season.
The season, and we're going to talk about some programming issues
we have
some
issues
later. We're going to need some listener
input
involvement there, input, because we've got some conflicts that we need to figure out. But we'll talk about that a little later. Anyway, Andy's here, Paul's here, I'm here, Kevin's in the booth. Where's Eric?
Bill Belichick's press conference.
Oh, he's at. I'm watching the screen, and I don't see Eric, and I don't see Bill Belichick.
He's waiting for Bill Belichick's press conference. He would have been here for like 5 minutes and then had to leave.
Okay.
And we know he doesn't offer that much anyway, so.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the Patriots coming up against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo Sunday at 1. Excited about that. Preseason game 5. Oh, well, I actually used that joke in our first PFW TV show, which we filmed yesterday. And will air on CSNNE on Thursday night, now at 7:30, right?
Weren't we always
at 7:30? Oh, we're always at 7:30?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're always neck and neck with Chronicle in that time
But
slot.
They switched something around.
Yeah, the other shows.
Our ratings are neck and neck with Chronicle. Yeah.
So in the football block on CSNNE.
We're the sun around which the rest of the football block rotates.
The tailgate is before us
yep.
at 7, and
yep.
now the slants is at 8.
Yes.
So they needed us to, you know, build the audience for quick slants.
Slants now, needs the lead in.
I'm not really sure why they decided to flip that around. Do we get any answers from that?
I don't know.
Let's ask the network.
Is 8 o'clock a better ratings?
I believe it has something
because
to do
really,
with something.
And understandably,
no, like video or something or
understandably,
time.
Understandably,
slot.
The whole thing is to build up quick. That's their show. That's their, you know, produced show. So I can understand why they need that to be as good as it can be. But I'm wondering why they think 8 o'clock is
but
better.
That would, yeah,
so
that
is
would
Curran
be
still
my,
hosting
my
it?
Question.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you said it wants, they want it to be as good as it
oh,
can be.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Tom. Don't hit me.
So that starts this week.
Or headbutt me.
If you're not in the CSNNE viewing area, we'll have it posted Friday on Patriots.com.
And we are expecting, I'm actually going to leave the show a little later during open locker room to have an interview with Chandler Jones.
Oh, wow.
The key to the defense.
That's what we're hoping for anyway. No guarantees, but that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, we've been down that road before.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
Just can't help yourself.
855-PATS-500.
The domestic toll-free line.
I'm just giving that out. I'm just giving that number out.
Now, what happens if somebody in, like,
the ace
Europe calls that or whatever?
I don't know. maybe their phone blows up or something, or they get a.
You hear some fuzz in the background, everyone.
Yeah, I do.
I do. I hear a little fuzz. What's that, Kevin?
I hear it too. I don't know what it is though.
Okay,
that's good.
Is there a mic? Well, maybe a mic open?
No, those are all.
Can at least get a lunch order together, will you?
We're not doing pizza.
And it's not till like
1:30. All right, I'm not. Doing
Paul will waste away. I mean,
I think
there it is. It's getting
louder. Hang on. Let me play with this.
That's worth.
Worth. It's better.
That's good.
So it's not Andy.
Now we're off the air.
That's
Paul.
Worse.
It's Paul, I think.
It's my microphone or my.
I think
what?
So. I'll come play with
it. I can definitely hear.
He's gonna come.
Because now it's gone, right, Fred?
Yeah, now it's gone.
So it's Paul's mic.
Paul's mic. Okay. I thought we had all this equipment updated.
Yeah,
for
I talked to Lumpy.
Wasn't
he said
Doug
this
Lane
was all
in
right.
Here? He did.
He was. You want your money back?
Well, I don't understand why the sarcastic comment. I thought.
I don't understand.
We paid to have someone come in and refresh everything, and now first regular season game we got hiss. So, I don't understand. All right.
It's definitely Paul's mic though. When he turns it off, it comes.
So, EJ. What was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
All kinds of cracking and croaking.
Manual.
Yes.
No tool time. It's what
manual labor.
The Bills have announced that EJ Manuel will be their starting quarterback. He missed the last two preseason games. Is that correct?
With a knee.
So, you know, what do you think about this? I mean, I made fun of it saying that was the fifth preseason game, but you should never do that to any opponent in the NFL. You never know what can happen.
Right.
But
truth be told, I thought the same of Arizona coming in week two last year.
Exactly. Exactly. So what do we need to be worried about going into Sunday?
Well, I think Manuel is a physically gifted athlete. He can run a little bit. He can throw a little bit. And we don't know what this defense is. I mean, I'm not willing to say this defense is, even though we are comfortable with most of the starting spots, is ready to just shut down anybody. And I'm always worried when there's an athlete, a guy that can, you know, scramble a little bit, create that extra second, a guy breaks free. We know the secondary has still had its issues, even in the preseason. So, to me, they have I guess this goes without saying, they have a far better chance of winning with Manuel than Tool. Because Manuel physically is more gifted, that's why he was their first round pick, and he has that athleticism that I think can just kinda make something happen. And they have those guys. Stevie Johnson, I would say, can make something happen. Obviously, CJ Spiller can make something happen. So, yeah, if you fall asleep and say this is just a preseason game, you could be giving up 80-yard touchdowns and you're going to be kicking yourself. Yeah. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, and Andy, you know, put all of the tangible stuff. But, you know, the newness of the start of a regular season, you never know. Generally, you see some big plays in the kicking game, and that's an area that, you know, Leotis McKelvin has been dangerous in for Buffalo. And frankly, the Patriots special teams were a little spotty during the summer, during the preseason. They let up a long punt return against Philadelphia, a couple of sizable kick returns later on. So, you know, big plays would make sense, the only way that Buffalo could stay close. I just look at it as, you know, I think E.J. Manuel is an intriguing guy, and he might develop into something. He never really developed into what a lot of people thought he would be at Florida State. But having missed half of the preseason, to me, he can't get that back. And I think when you're a rookie missing that much time, that's a really tough hill to climb, you know, heading into a regular season game. I think the Patriots are going to win this game easy. We'll talk about it, you know, over the next couple of days as well. Tomorrow anyway. Big plays. I think if you do a decent job of protecting the ball, I'm not even saying you can't turn the ball over, but just don't have a disaster like Detroit and turn the ball over multiple times and, you know, try to contain the big plays. And I think the Patriots win this game somewhat handily.
Okay. We also need to talk about the final roster that the Patriots ended up with.
Let me know when it's going to be final.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always that end of the roster tweaking that they do. But in terms of, you
know.
Not
like this year where it's just been every day.
Really?
And
you don't think so?
And Marquise Cole is gone one day and back the next and said he expected to
year?
Be. Not to this degree.
I can't remember as many as this year where, you know, they cut to 51, and they're claiming guys off waivers. Then they're releasing veterans. They're bringing some of those veterans back, all before you play a game. Now, constant tinkering as you go through like the first month or so of the season, sure. But this has been a transaction every day.
Any surprises for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys that we speculated could be gone are gone. That I found interesting.
I was a little
surprised.
Wilson,
that Washington, Cunningham, you know, a lot of guys we thought were in trouble. We're in trouble.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that both Ballard and Fells went on that Friday.
Yeah.
I thought maybe one of those guys, because I don't think that Gronkowski is available yet. I wasn't overly surprised. I thought that was definitely trending toward Gronk being on the active roster, so I wasn't really surprised by that. And I was a little surprised, even though Andy scoffed at me all summer about the punting situation.
Well, you were right on, Paul.
You ran him out of town. Congratulations.
I was a little surprised that they pulled the trigger. I thought Mesko outkicked him. Now, I don't think it was by a wide margin, and maybe they thought that Mesko would have to be light years ahead of this kid in order to make to keep him.
You know, because we got to save that extra $900K, because we got to be $14 million under the cap, not $10 million under the cap.
I thought, and as I said,
suddenly
along,
money
I think,
matters.
I think he has.
It always does.
It does. Really? Maybe we should stop giving it to all these veteran free agents and then just cutting them willy nilly.
I had no idea the punter was going to elicit a rant.
I like Mesko. It's a little bit. I think he's a really nice guy. I wanted to on our draft.
Well, you thought Tebow was too.
Yeah, but Mesko can play. Tebow can't. Mesko can do the job in question. Tebow can't. But if you remember the whole Rashard Mendenhall thing with me, and sorry, Patriots fans, you just became the second best team.
Right.
When he signed with the Steelers a couple days ago, I wanted to tweet out, sorry, Patriots fans, you just became the second best team. But I figured not enough people would get it.
And it was
we'll see him.
It was a punter, so it was irrelevant.
I like him. I like him too, but he's
still a punter.
Just running him out of town. There's a funny email in regards to that later. Did you read that?
No.
There's a very funny Paul-related email. He's just a punter.
Well, he is.
No. You'll see later.
I know which one you're
That's
talking
a phenomenal
about. I'll get to that later.
I'm intrigued now.
It's
I'm,
very
I'm
good.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll get to that later.
I was also, my Fells thing. I still think Fells should be here. I think he's one of your best 53.
But should he be here if he's always nicked up?
Well, that's the issue. If he can't stay healthy, and I don't know what the shoulder issue was, how much of an issue that was going to be, but, I mean, you got rid of Fells, and then you brought back Matthew Mulligan. Well, why didn't you keep, you liked Fells enough 2 years ago to give him a 3-year deal, and, even though you already had tight ends, and maybe that's it. Maybe he became one of those guys that just always had a health issue, and they wanted to move on.
Tells me money was involved in that, too, which I don't like. I don't like making these decisions based on money. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason why they were made, but if you have a guy, and I used a couple years ago, if you had a guy like Sean Ellis, who you signed as a $4 million player, okay, and then you realized, well, this guy isn't anywhere near what I thought, and I can get the same thing out of Joe Villano. By all means, make that move. That's $4 million you're saving. But to save $500,000 here and $600,000 there, the Who Man had a restricted free agent tender of like $1.3 million. They had to lower the salary? I just don't get it.
It all adds up. It all adds up.
Well, it adds up faster when you're signing up
to about $50 million of cap space.
And those other mistakes that they made are mistakes. You don't want to be paying Chad Ochocinco and Albert Haynesworth that money. Those were mistakes. And, I think you take those chances, and when they don't work out, they hurt you. And so you have to look at every guy in the 53 and evaluate it.
Yeah, but
I know I don't want to get into the whole cap is crap argument.
No, but they have a lot of cap space is my point.
Right now they do, but maybe they think they might need it, for whatever reason. And does it carry over to the next year?
Yes. Yeah.
So
they cannot use it next year, just like they didn't use it this year.
No, you just said it does carry over to
it. It does. Yeah. So they won't use it next year, just like they didn't use it this year.
But you never know.
It carried over from last year to this year, too.
Maybe.
What are you laughing at? That's a fact.
So they won't use it next year.
I know, but you don't use it just to use it.
I'm not suggesting you use it, but they're carving out extra space. So what? So we can, extend Devin McCourty or somebody?
No.
Because that's where I think this is going.
Oh, yeah. They're going to end up extending someone
for far more money than I would have, and everybody's going to say, see, that's why they did it. Great. You're a lesser team than you could have been. I think that these years are valuable, and I think that they run. I know that Tom thinks he's going to play until he's 106, but at some point it's going to be over for Tom. And I think you need to maximize your roster as best you can now. I understand the long term. I really, really, I know that you think I don't. I really respect the way Bill does that. He takes care of the short term and the long term. That's not an easy thing to do. It's probably the most impressive element of what he's put together, Andy, as his what? Program.
Oh, yes.
Here in New England. But I think that sometimes the team isn't as good as it might, as it might be, based on stuff. And I'm not suggesting that Mesko and Allen is going to discernibly cost you games. I don't think that will happen. But
good.
I think that was a curious decision, and it seemed to me to be based almost solely on money.
But don't you think, I said this to you, don't you think maybe there's a chance he said, I want Ryan Allen to be my punter next year, and I can't get him. No.
He won't clear waivers?
Now, the opposite of that is, boy, you really hurt your hamstring on that last punt of the preseason, didn't you? And he goes on IR. I mean, I'm not naive. I think that happens. Yeah. And if you really want
Adrian
it,
Wilson.
Yeah, I don't think that happened to Adrian Wilson, personally.
But you have to have a willing partner.
No, I'm saying he hurt his hamstring in the last preseason game.
You know, Ryan Allen has to be okay with that.
Oh, he would be.
Well, I don't know.
You're guaranteeing him employment.
You know, maybe his agent's in his other ear saying, look, Ryan, if you don't...
If they cut you, Pittsburgh's going to
sign
you.
Exactly.
Just like Mesko.
Yeah, to the same salary you have right now. You're going to make the rookie minimum.
Yeah, but I want to play. No, I don't want to sit
on the
sideline.
Play.
Yeah, I...
Wouldn't you rather play for the rookie minimum than sit around?
Right.
Maybe.
You of all people would rather just sit around?
Well, if I'm thinking if I'm thinking about it business-wise,
how are you going to get better
if I
sitting around?
Don't play? I've guaranteed myself 2 years' salary because they can't find out till the second season that I can't play. If I stink as a rookie, my career ends.
Yeah, but that's not a way a competitive athlete looks at it.
I know.
And you wouldn't look at it
that
way.
Tebow still thinks he can complete passes, even though 5 years in he can't complete passes.
Don't complain about Tebow when you just bring up random Tebow bashing like that.
What? What do you mean?
The slide of nowhere. We're talking about money, and you bring up Tebow.
It just makes it easy.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit,
the worst signing in Patriots history?
Well, obviously, number 15 was cut.
Jeff Dellenbach?
Number 5, actually.
This was way worse.
Tebow's statement afterwards, I will continue my relentless pursuit of being an NFL quarterback. Do you think that the Patriots said, look, if you're going to stay here, we're going to try you at different things, and he said no?
It's possible. He's balked at that before. He's balked at it before.
You know, we can cut you or you can stay and forget about being a quarterback.
We've heard reports of what Andy just said, that he's balked at that for other teams. One of them that was tied to him was Philadelphia.
Yep.
Had asked him to come and sort of gauged his interest in playing another position, and he didn't want to do that.
Right.
I don't know if that's accurate, but there was a report out there, and I'm pretty sure Philadelphia was the team.
Oh, it was definitely Philly. They wanted him to be a tight end or whatever in Chip Kelly's offense, and he didn't want to do it. He wants to be a quarterback.
It's possible. I think your theory is absolutely plausible.
They didn't discuss that when they signed him?
Smart decision by him, or should he take it wherever he can get it?
Well, he can take it wherever he can get it because I think his athletic career is coming to an end.
No, I'm talking about should he look for any opportunity at any position?
Yes,
or should he stick to his guns? And
no, I think his career is coming to an end. I think he may have used up his last opportunity.
I think it all depends on what's inside him. You know, I understand what Andy's saying. If you just love football, and I don't care, whatever it takes. If they want me to carry the water, I just want to do whatever it takes. Then he should be willing to change. Now, if he says, I love playing quarterback, and if I can't play quarterback, if I'm not good enough, so be it. I'm okay with that. I'll go and do something else.
Well, that's a possibility.
The kid from Nebraska did that. I forget which one.
Frost
or Crouch?
Crouch.
Great college quarterback. They wanted him to change, and he said, no, I'm a quarterback, and I understand if you don't want to give me the opportunity. And he never played in the NFL. I respect that. If a guy just says, I'm a quarterback, and if I'm not good enough, that's okay. And I'll go my separate way. I have a lot of respect for that. You know, like I said, it's up to him. Do you not agree with me?
No, I'm just looking at the screen.
Oh,
Stacey James is up there.
Looks like he's the great orator.
Right? Yeah,
orator.
Yeah. Orator. It's like
he looks like one of those young college coaches. You could be,
at like the Division II level,
right? All right, so
because I don't know any Division I coaches that look like that.
Going back to
I'll tell you, Dennis Allen or whatever that guy's name is, Oakland doesn't look that much different. Throw a visor on him.
Going back to the tight end position, I too was a little surprised that they got rid of Fells and Ballard. What does that say about their confidence in Sudfeld?
That he's the next great tight end.
I think they like Sudfeld. Absolutely. I think they think he can catch the football, and they probably feel like they can sort of teach him the rest, you know, well enough. I think Hooman's a guy that they like his versatility, probably over the other two. They probably felt the other two were more of, you know, the traditional inline.
Hooman's the most versatile of the group, I
would say. Hooman can do other things. You have Sudfeld to catch the ball, and they probably – the biggest thing is they probably think it's going to be a lot sooner than later with Gronk.
Yeah. And we thought Devlin had a spot, and then
– Well, he had a spot and then until they took his spot.
Yeah. What do you think that was all about? I mean,
I have no idea. I started the show by saying I don't know what's going on with all these transactions, and I got a fullback, I need offensive line, I got rid of a fullback, a tight end's in.
Do you think
it could have been a mulligan related
Do you think because they brought in that other inline tight end, they didn't need Devlin anymore?
I mean, I guess you could say they were planning on using him as the extra tight end. I don't know.
Where was Mulligan in the preseason?
Green Bay.
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
It's a lot of moving parts. Even Bill Belichick said, what was that, 2 days ago? You know, there'll be more moves. I don't know what they are, but they're going to be like, it's like we're just making moves willy-nilly.
You know, maybe they get out there and they, you know, some of the things they thought they might be able to get out of Devlin for this particular game maybe aren't, you know, necessarily a strong suit. So they wanted to get, you know, sort of a more traditional tight end to just this game. And it might, because I don't think Devlin's days in New England are over.
No,
I
mean, probably not.
If you are looking at the matchup against the Bills, offensively, you have to think you're going to be throwing the ball, right? Against the Bills' secondary?
Well, it's the worst run defense in the league. It's not a bad pass defense on paper.
On paper.
And they are without their best cornerback, too.
And their best safety has a foot injury.
Compromised, at least.
Right.
Yeah. But they're the worst run
Bird
defense.
Is out,
but
right?
It's the worst run defense in football.
It was last year. Yeah.
Well, it's the same guys back without two of the better players.
Yeah.
Although they're going to have a rookie middle linebacker, Kiko Alonso, I think, is going to start. So he's an athletic kid. Is there like a thunderstorm going on at the stadium that we're not aware of?
Maybe they installed that new bowling alley they were talking about already.
Where is that going to be?
That's going to be a
place.
It's all rumors, but it's going to be where Qdoba – Life is
Qdoba,
Good has moved.
Yeah.
We're talking about Patriot Place now. Life is Good has moved.
Company men that we are.
down the lane. So that's opened up, and I think Sprint's moving out, Qdoba, so that area is going to be where I hear a bowling alley's going.
Going to be a lot of stuff in that bowling alley, too, right? Not just the bowling
alley. Oh, it's going to be one of those upscale, you know,
what other glow stuff
in the dark balls or something like that, you know.
Oh. I think there's going to be other stuff in there. I'm not positive.
Strip club or something?
All right. So we talked about the
usually
punter.
That's not on his mind, so I'll be impressed with that.
Adrian Wilson is just a thank you move, you know, for your service, and because he played the whole game.
Maybe he's got a hamstring. Maybe he got sore playing so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's the latter.
Yeah.
I tend to think this is a respected veteran we brought in. It just didn't work out, and I can cut you or I can give you a paycheck on IR. Now, who knows? That's pure speculation at my point, but I just think he didn't play very well. I think you saw that he was in trouble, despite what Matt Chatham tried to tell us on the preseason broadcasts.
Are you also trying to keep him away from other teams?
No, I would
division?
Want him on other teams. I would want Brady to see him on the field. I would want him on teams that Brady is going against every damn play.
Okay.
If we're looking for things to be, you know, concerned about, you know, before the season even starts, I think that's a position that most people felt like could use an upgrade.
Everybody hates Steve Gregory.
And
everybody hates him.
Oh, he is like the most hated
man. He's a lightning
rod. You listen to talk radio, emails, they hate him.
He's sort of like Arrington, only I think worse.
Yeah.
I agree with Andy. Now, I don't really see it. I don't know why it's so much vitriol to channel Eric right there.
Did this all start with that missed tackle in Buffalo last year?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it did.
I think it did.
That's it, though, right? He had a couple other bad plays over the year.
Well, he also had a tough night in Baltimore.
But if we're going to start just getting rid of guys who, you know, have had troubles in the secondary, well, then the whole secondary goes.
Right.
McCourty, you're out, even though McCourty is now God's gift to the safety position because he slid over. I mean, Gregory wasn't that bad.
I didn't think so.
He wasn't great. He didn't make a ton of plays. He had the big Jets game where he had the plays kind of around him circumstantially. But I think we've seen a lot worse safety play, Sergio Brown, in the Patriots secondary than we have with Steve Gregory.
Yeah.
But I look at that, and I like Gregory more than most, and I think we do collectively more than most.
Guy.
But I think ideally he's probably a third safety, and they could use an upgrade there.
Well,
and
they tried.
And they tried, and it didn't work.
And, right. That, and Tavon Wilson seems to not have progressed.
They had Tavon Wilson, who people were saying, you know, let's include him in there with Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower. Maybe he makes a year or two jump. Doesn't look like he is. Has been passed up by a third-round pick, who many thought shouldn't have been a third-round pick, and Jerron Harmon, who you might look at and say, well, that's good. Harmon's passed him on the depth chart. Well, I haven't really seen a whole lot of positive from Harmon either. On the field, anyway. I think he's. Why are you going to point out the things that went wrong?
I thought
on the
that
broadcast?
Was okay now. Ever since Matt came last week, he was taking shots at people.
So I look at that position as being a little bit.
Wilson's the problem. Tavon, yeah. Not Adrian, in my opinion.
Yes.
Tavon Wilson should be your starting safety. He looks the part. He's athletic. He's big. You drafted him in the second round. Everything about him says he should either be starting or very much in a rotation right now. He isn't. That's the problem.
Well, here's another one for
right?
you now.
I mean, you signed Gregory. Maybe they thought when they signed Gregory and then they draft Wilson, okay, here it is. When I want a small safety, Gregory. When I want my bigger, it's Wilson.
I think
Wilson
that
hasn't
what,
done anything.
I think that is what they thought and wanted to throw Adrian Wilson into that mix, and it didn't work out. The things that they wanted to do with Adrian Wilson, to me, it looked like he wasn't physically capable of doing anymore. Well, chasing backs, you know, laterally, you know, in underneath zones, I think was going to be a losing cause for him. And I also would say, let's look at, you know, so they took Tavon Wilson, they took Jerron Harmon. I'll give them a little bit more slack because they're still young players, although I agree with you about Tavon Wilson. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Certainly Harmon gets slack.
There were a lot of free agent safeties that changed teams this year, mm-hmm. and some of them, you know, better than others. I was not a big proponent of getting Ed Reed. I know a lot of people think, oh, you know, $4 or $5 million, you could have had Ed Reed. Yeah. I didn't see anything from him last year. And again, another guy. Very few guys. I'm with Bill on Ed Reed. Very few guys in the league that I have more respect for their careers than Ed Reed. I just didn't see it last year. I saw a guy who was done. And to add another $4 or $5 million safety just so you can have the name Ed Reed back there, to me, didn't make any sense. But there were other guys that could have been had, and there were a lot of safeties, and they chose a very inexpensive option in Adrian Wilson. You know, maybe some of that $13 million in cap space could have been better used.
Yeah. All right, 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And for those of you emailing in your fantasy teams and hoping to get them analyzed, that's the show at 4 o'clock.
Get a lot.
Fantasy Football Champs is at 4 today. And John Rook and the Patriots Playbook makes its season debut at 2 o'clock.
Step into the playbook.
Will he be joined by the Queen?
Sucky,
I don't know.
Sucky.
Queen and the Rook.
But full slate of shows today on Patriots.com radio. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with the TINs on it. Hey, Christian.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey.
Another start of the season. Awesome. Can't wait. But first I have to rant. And I think you guys bring up a great point about the safety position and looking at the team as far as, you know, my biggest concern, it would be that back end. Do we have any idea of what's gonna happen with Dennard in this court date? Like, is there gonna be like a hearing? Is it gonna be pushed? Is he gonna be remanded to like 30-day term? What?
Well, based on the way everything's gone, it's probably gonna get pushed back again. It seems like they bent over backwards to sort of help him out throughout this process, even dating back to the spring. So
yeah.
Now, I know people have the fear that he's gonna have to go to Nebraska Friday and they're gonna immediately lock him up. He broke probation. Boom. The way everything is gone, that would stun me.
Well, do we even know if he would be physically ready to play if he had to play on Sunday?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
Injury report be out at 4, Paul.
Yeah.
Today. First injury report of the year. Big one.
And he didn't play a preseason game, right? I mean, he didn't play in any of them, did he? Did he play in the first one?
No.
No.
No. So, he barely practiced, and then he got hurt.
Right.
So
I think there's a very good chance you're going to see, you know, the three cornerbacks could be Arrington and Tlaib with the rookie Logan Ryan. I think there's a good chance of that on Sunday.
Or Kwesi.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he'll get some time, too.
He's got a lot of run in the slot this preseason.
He'll get some time, too.
Tom Brady stepping to the podium, for anybody that wants to know.
Speaking of Ed Reed, practiced yesterday.
So are you more concerned about corner or safety?
Safety. You're returning the same back end, but Chiefs, that safety position needed to be upgraded. And I mean, I.
Do you hate Gregory like other fans do?
I don't hate him. I don't have this vitriol that some of the media do towards him. I don't hate him. I think he's okay. I think he's good. My whole problem actually is with McCourty and people overrating him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good. I don't think he's this type of, well, when he's back there and he gets everybody lined up and that's what they're looking for. Like, yeah, that's great. We have that in the linebacker corps in Mayo, and how do they look in coverage? I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, I hear you.
I'm not sold
on McCourty at safety like others are. I'd like to see an extended period of playing time with him at safety.
Well, I'd like to see an extended period of playing time with everybody back there.
No, I know, but
it's just crazy.
I'm just putting it on him. I'm not blaming – you blame everything that he's done poorly in his career to everybody else around him. I don't necessarily give him that out.
No, not a corner.
If he's – well, whatever. I just think go back there and play. He's made some nice plays. What, that pick on the goal line, who was that against?
Buffalo?
I don't know.
When Ryan Fitzpatrick threw it to him?
I'd like to see him show his ability back there more than just, you know, theorize that he's a calming force and he's
right.
a veteran. Show me you can actually play the position and make some plays.
Yeah, and you know, I he led the team with 5 picks last year, and I remember the pick he had against, I think it was the Texans on the Monday night game. You got to hope that this defense. I mean, they basically return everybody with the exception of Tommy Kelly from last year, right?
Which is an upgrade. That's why it doesn't matter how bad the secondary is, because Tommy Kelly, Chandler Jones, getting to the quarterback, they're not going to have any time to throw.
Wow.
That's right. This defensive line is going to step it up, especially with Chandler Jones.
Dominant.
The hope here, like everybody says, is that they gel. And, you know, I hate quoting him, but I think he's got a point with this one. Felger says, all right, this defense has been to an AFC championship. They've been to a Super Bowl. It's time.
And unfortunately, it's not going to be until at least week 4 or 5 until we even can judge that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got a couple of rookie quarterbacks on. Piss poor.
Yeah.
You think this is a preseason game against the Bills, Fred? That Jets team, I went to like look at their offense. They don't have an offense.
Well, the Jets are even worse offensively than Buffalo.
Piss poor. There's nothing there.
At least Buffalo has a couple of playmakers.
They have playmakers.
Stevie Johnson and CJ Spiller.
And proven playmakers.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Stephen Hill, okay, you can try to sell me. He's
they
a
don't have
first
a,
round
they don't
pick.
Have playmakers.
He gets behind the deep, whatever. But they got nothing. Right. I almost used a center for you must stop in the paper. And I've never done that before.
Well, we got another season here, and I can't wait to go. And, you know, like you said, the next 2 games mostly, you know, the Bills and the Jets. And so. You know, I know they want to knock it down to 2 preseason games, but we got 6, so I'll take it.
Okay, Christian.
All right.
Let's go to Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, your state has now become the new recruiting ground for the Patriots. We're starting to pick up Maryland.
Really?
Guys. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I thought it was Jersey.
Well, it's a little of both now that we got this R.J. Dill guy who started at Maryland and then transferred to Rutgers. He's perfect.
I thought Rutgers is still the home base. But, hey, guys, anyway, I had 2 things. First of all, isn't Bill always says, you know, the best interest of our football team. Well, isn't the best interest of the football teams to make it better so they can win? So if the secondary's been horrible for 5 years, I mean, why can't they just kind of change something up and maybe spend a little money on somebody?
Well,
I know you guys talked about Golston in the past, and I was listening to Felger yesterday, and it makes sense. Why wouldn't they have gone after a safety to upgrade? That's the worst part of the defense is the secondary, but most importantly the safeties, and most importantly Gregory.
Well, you know, the thing is, they are changing things up. They just aren't making the right moves. It seems. I mean,
God.
If you look at the last 5 years, that secondary, it's gone through wholesale changes.
Yeah.
None of it's worked.
Yeah.
Literally none of it, because even McCourty, that should have worked, didn't work.
You know, now, how much of that is because they didn't have a pass rush? You know, it all ties together.
Yeah, but the Jets in previous years, that's why this game, by the way, kind of concerns me just a little tiny bit, because the team is the defensive coordinator over there. You know, the Jets, they got by on defense, you know, in 2010, those years, with their pass rush wasn't that great.
Well,
I mean, they had cover corners, though.
Yeah,
that's,
but,
you know,
but,
why,
yeah, they,
obviously.
That's
they
the difference.
Schemed it up.
They had cover corners.
They had
cover
corners
and Revis.
And they weren't afraid to send the heat. And
right.
so
okay.
even though it may not have always got there, you know, those cover corners were able to, you know, make up for that.
And I would even argue that the Jets' best better defensive days in 09 and 10 were before Pettine was the guy really calling the shots.
Well, yeah, you're right. He was just there in a sense, but you're right. No,
because he blitzes a lot, and I don't think Rex likes the blitz as much as he does.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. But that being said, guys, I'm excited though. I watched some of the some of the games from last year, some of the clips, and just to see that there's no more Woodhead, no more Welker in a sense. I mean, just something new.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
It didn't work in the past. We needed something different.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not happy that Welker's not here, but I'm intrigued. We don't know what's going to happen with this offense.
Yeah.
We really don't.
No, it's a little bit back to 2008 when it was intriguing that we didn't know Brady was going to.
But it didn't,
it's exciting.
But it didn't work.
What?
The offense didn't work.
What do you mean it didn't work?
In the past?
Of course it did.
Oh, okay.
It always works with Brady. I don't know what Andy's talking about.
I don't know what Paul's talking about either. All right, Eddie.
I don't know what Eddie's talking about.
I don't know what anybody's talking about.
What I'm talking about is he just said, without Welker and Woodhead, I'm excited. That didn't work in the past.
They didn't win the Super Bowl.
It didn't work?
He didn't say that, did he?
That's exactly what he said.
I didn't hear him say it didn't work.
I didn't either. Paul said he did.
Oh, for God's sakes. You're such a jerk.
I didn't hear it.
He said it.
He said it. He may have said it. I'm not saying he didn't say it. I say I didn't hear it.
Well, I would argue with that. I think it worked to great lengths.
Well, Paul would say until you got to the postseason.
Chris and Auburn.
And I would agree with that, but don't put it on,
Paul would agree with the statement I was attributing to him.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, to sit here and blame it on, the offense. Can you stop, crapping your pants in the middle of the
Andy's
studio?
It's off air.
Yeah, but we can smell it.
It doesn't stink today.
Chris from Auburn, California, says, I heard somewhere that Leon Washington still has a locker. Could that mean he's coming back within a few weeks?
Sure.
Except he also visited the Giants today? He visited somewhere today.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't just pencil him in as, he's waiting down the street at the motel.
It's interesting. A couple lockers this year are called New England Patriots.
Yeah, a lot of the ones that are empty are not, they have that name tag. We've never seen that before.
Right.
I don't know why.
Usually they just keep the...
blank.
They're empty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, strange. But listen, you can't rule out anything. Any of these guys.
Well, you can use that stupid quote that Bill gave the other day that everybody said, Bill leaves door open for Tebow to return.
Didn't rule it out.
Use that quote for any of the 100 guys that have been through here and cut.
Yeah. I don't think that you're going to see a lot of these guys back. You might see one of them come back, one or two.
Most likely?
The most likely guy to come back that's been cut? James Devlin.
I would go Jeff Tarpinian.
Oh, he's practice squad anyway.
No, but he was on the active roster last year.
No, I know, but
I think that role, a linebacker, special teamer, is the most likely to return. Just a guy.
Nick says last year there were 12 roster moves from the 53-man cutdown day to the Titans game. So that's 12 moves.
Okay.
We're about there.
Can you give us what the moves were? Because I don't think they had 12 moves on the active roster.
I smell an argument coming.
No, I don't.
Well,
I have absolutely no idea.
If
there's no
eight of them were just signing a practice squad,
exactly.
Well, that's
my
only
point.
Four other moves.
So, yeah. You can't count practice.
And not only that, the Patriots have made like three or four moves on their practice
right,
squad.
Yeah. You can't count practice squad.
like Tarpinian that Andy just said.
And Klein was on the roster. Now he's on the practice squad.
Now he's not on the roster. Devlin was on the roster. Now he's not. Washington was on the roster. Now he's not. I don't think they had 12 of those last year before the Titans.
Thomas is the biggest Patriots fan in Baltimore. I don't know if that means size-wise or just an enthusiasm, but he says, why did Belichick decide to go thin at defensive end? Cutting Bernard and Francis was a big surprise. What do you think was the thought process?
Well, Francis was apparently injured. It still surprised me. Because I didn't really know he was injured.
Well, we knew he was injured, but we didn't.
But like,
we didn't know how injured, because he had missed practice the last week that we were actually watching.
No, but
practice.
I just assumed that he had something, and he'll be back.
But why do we just assume that?
That's what I do.
What I wasn't aware of is Bernard. I thought that he was a guy that showed some versatility of being able to. I thought he was an upgrade over Cunningham in that sort of inside role and. A NASCAR set, for lack of a better term. But evidently they felt he sort of petered out because they didn't share the enthusiasm.
Yeah. Freddie, did you see your guy Trevor Scott made the Bucks?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you see my guy Jason Vega made the Cowboys practice squad?
I did not.
That's good.
I was surprised by that. Because he wasn't there all that long.
Oh, no.
To have earned a practice squad spot.
Considering he had no reps here, he was rusty when he got there.
Colin writes in, I think this is the email you were talking about, Andy. I have to say that Paul is my favorite of the PFW crew.
Yeah.
We've all heard his opinions about the NFL. And in his honor, I thought I'd make a list with a few classic Paul Perillo quotes. These are Paul Perillo's irrelevant positions for the Patriots. One, running back. In today's NFL, running the ball doesn't win games. Two, fullback. I'm sorry, Andy. The fullback position is dead in the NFL. Three, guard. You can always get a guard. Four, center. We've all seen Dante take chicken blank and make chicken salad. Five, right tackle. The right tackle is just the guy who can't play left tackle. Six,
offense has been eliminated already.
Six, wide receiver. Like I always say, somebody is going to catch the passes. Seven, slot receiver. Loose change. Eight, defensive tackle. Is there really $40 million difference between Kyle Love and Vince Wilfork? Nine, middle linebacker. Every team has that tackle machine. It just doesn't matter unless you make plays. 10, strong safety. I just don't see the value in that big run-stuffing safety anymore. 11, backup quarterback. Let's face it, in the NFL, if you lose your starting quarterback, your season is probably over. Furthermore, 12, offensive and defensive coordinator. If I'm going to give Bill the credit when it goes well, he gets the blame when it goes bad. 13, director of player personnel. Who are we kidding? It's Bill. It's all Bill. So what would the Paul Perillo roster look like? Who needs a 53-man roster? He only needs about seven. So
I know that's, you know, largely tongue-in-cheek and everything, but I honestly cannot argue with anything except for the wide receiver one. Everything else, I would sort of agree with. I think it's exaggerated to make a point, but well done, and I don't have a problem with it.
I know there's no kickers. We'll just go for it on fourth down. And on the sideline, you've got Bill Dante and 49 scouts to carry clipboards. And Ernie Adams.
Wait a minute. You don't need any scouts because Bill does it all anyway. that's very well done. Good job.
Yeah, that was good. Let's see.
What time's the locker room open?
12:45.
Is it after Brady finishes? He's still yapping.
They divide and conquer.
Oh, Stacey's press conference is over.
By the way, did Brady intentionally wear the old logo? Because I'm sure they're not happy about that.
Well, do they have? I haven't really noticed. Shirts with the
maybe
new
they're
logo?
Trying to get rid of old stuff and they asked them to wear it. I don't know.
Well, you still don't have to wear it to a press conference. You can wear it to work out and do other stuff.
So,
I don't know. Do they have all new stuff? And it's not totally gone because it's on the jersey.
You know what my favorite one was? Right tackle. He's just a guy who can't play left tackle.
Well, that's what I feel about soccer players. They're guys who can't play football.
Well, I think that's largely true. Or any other sport.
I think it's a little.
Well, wait a minute. I used to think that. I don't necessarily think it anymore.
Let's see. Larry writes in, fire EEI, please, Fred. I'm not sure what that means.
I don't think Fred has the power.
I don't employ them.
He's very powerful,
they're not
Fred,
under my power.
But this might be a good time to talk about the little conflicts that we're having, because with Brady up at the podium kind of highlights what it is. Football has changed their schedules for the week, and I don't know if it's going to stay this way, but right now, open locker room on Wednesday, Thursday fall right in the middle of this show, as well as Bill Belichick's press conference. And so we've got a dilemma. The options are maybe move our show to 2 and move John Rook to noon. Keep it the way it is and we'll work around it. And maybe we'll grab a player from the locker room and have him during the open locker room segment on this show.
I just wouldn't advertise that as an option. We're trying to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's not necessarily
an
option.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think most fans would probably vote for that.
Yeah.
You know, while one of us has to leave to go to the locker room, maybe we can get a player to come in here, and then, you know, Fred and whoever the remaining, Andy and I are probably going to switch back and forth. Eric is going to be gone most of the time now because he's got to do the day-to-day stuff on the web.
That's kind of like what he did anyway, and he'd come back at 1:30 with his report.
Right.
So we can give a full locker room practice Bill Belichick report at 1:30.
In light of this discussion, got to go.
Andy has to run down to the locker room, but he'll be back in about 45 minutes or sooner, depending on if he can get his stuff done.
Hey, don't forget Gronk.
I just saw Eric on TV, by the way.
If Gronk happens to be...
So Eric's got to go down there. He's got to get stuff for the paper, and he also has to do the interview for the PFW TV show, and we hear Chandler Jones this week, so that'll be good. So watch that. Again, PFW TV starts this week, Thursday night at 7:30 in the CSNNE viewing audience. And if you're not, we'll have it on Patriots.com on Friday.
Yeah, see, this is unfortunate. This is what we didn't want to do. And this is be just curious to see what the listeners think. I think we could probably stay the same on Tuesdays and do our 12 to 2 and have John come in after us. Wednesdays and Thursdays, we may need to flip-flop with John Rook and have John go from 12 to 2 and us go from 2 to 4. Because I think this is the alternative. Two out of three of us are going to have to be in the locker room. And then it's going to leave Fred with one of us. And I think any time there's only two of us, Fred, the dynamic is lost.
Yeah, it's not the same show.
It's not the same show.
No.
So we don't have Andy farting.
And, you know, you might be saying, well, why didn't you think of this earlier? We didn't get the schedule till yesterday.
Yeah, we just found out.
So that's the problem. We just assumed.
And it's not permanent. We don't know for sure that this, but right now locker room is slated to go from 12:45 to 1:30. So obviously that's 45 minutes smack dab in the middle of the show.
Right. Speaking of other stuff that we do, John writes in. He's from New Brunswick, Canada. It was fun seeing the four of you on TV Friday night. Paul, I saw you twice with the big head and Mike Reese. Fred, your little segment about the new PFW app was interesting and showed why you should really stick to radio with that Academy Award performance. It was funny because I got a haircut yesterday, and, you know, just because it was getting too long. So I walked down into the studios today, and, you know, No Socks was there. And he's like, oh, I got a haircut, Fred? I go, yeah, you know, TV starts. He goes, you couldn't get one for the halftime show? So, obviously, I didn't look too good. And Eric, when they cut the commercials and showed a shot of Faneuil Hall, did I see you with a French beret painting the scenery? He might have gotten in there. One question for y'all. Is Mike Reese a little guy?
Yes.
When they were showing a side shot of Mike and Paul being interviewed, it almost looked like Mike was Paul's ventriloquist dummy. The fact they were dressed the same only highlighted this. Is he a real person, or is this an old college trick that Paul has?
Mike is a small guy, because I am not very tall.
Right.
And I am substantially taller than Mike. So what was it? Probably all access we were doing
on
the field?
Yeah, you guys were on before the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of catcalls when we came out of the tunnel.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Just head down, eyes forward.
One other observation. I don't really like the cutaways to Paul and Andy. It's such a rush, and I don't think it allows for the same in-depth insight we get from the Tuesday and Thursday show. Ideally, I think the two of you would be better providing a halftime analysis. I think then we could get some real PFW discussion on TV. So, you know, like everything else, that was a new concept that Matt Smith tried, and I think it was a good first season of it, and next year we'll build on that. See, maybe tweak it a little.
Yeah, I would say that for the most part, I like the way it went. I just think that we need to try to come up with a way that we could perhaps be a little bit more discussion-based and interactive in that as, you know, if there was a way that everybody could know that someone's about to speak, so you didn't necessarily have to be thrown to. I think that's better. And that way, you know, you can throw it down to the sideline and show Matt Chatham once in a while. You can throw it here to the, you know, the studios for Andy and I once in a while, but not every time that we talk. And they didn't do that every time we talked. But if Matt says something that elicits to say a response from Andy, it'd be nice if everybody knew, hey, Andy's mic just went on. He's going to respond to what Matt's saying. And now you have a discussion about Adrian Wilson.
Right.
Which is what he was alluding to. I had mentioned after the Detroit game that he was one of my, you know, down arrows. Because I thought he played extensively in the second half after all the other starters had left. And I didn't think he played very well. I thought he played close to the line. I thought he played back as a traditional safety. I didn't think he looked good doing either one. The football guys strongly disagreed with me and showed us. Sort of shouted me down, and I wanted to get right back into it with them, as you know I often am. I'm looking right for a confrontation. Not really, but, you know, playing along for the show. And I had to wait because they didn't know that I wanted to right, you know, sort of give a rebuttal. And then we kind of continued that on the Saturday, on the Thursday game against the Giants, the last game, when, again, Adrian Wilson's out there
right,
a lot.
Right.
And you're just saying all signs are pointing to this guy is in a lot of trouble to make this roster. And ultimately he was, because I'm not sure he would have made it had he not been hurt.
So said anything to
you?
Oh,
no, they had a whole different look at it in the fourth game than they did in the third game.
Oh,
so
okay.
evidently they saw how everybody shared Andy and I's view after the Detroit game and said, oh, maybe we're the only ones that didn't notice that he was playing extensively in the fourth quarter of a preseason game.
Sam in Chicago sends us a link to the Deadspin article. They've been doing a series of why your team sucks, and they're actually pretty funny. Obviously, it's tongue-in-cheek, somewhat. But they have the one for the Patriots out, and, you know, even though there's a lot of, you know, bad, if you have a thin skin and you're a Patriots fan, you probably don't want to read it. But if you can take it for
so
what
it's no Patriots fans will read
right,
it.
If you can take it for what it's meant to be, it's pretty funny. In particular, they really go after Patriots fans. And I thought Paul wrote it, but yeah, pretty funny, worth the read.
I read the Buffalo one because I was working on the Buffalo preview stuff last week, yeah. And I had seen that. I just happened to come across it. So I read it because I thought there might be something that I could use, but they're so sarcastic and silly that they're really not even to be taken.
No,
even,
they're not. But
even 1%
seriously. It's an interesting read. It's not for, you know, the guy, you know, filling out his fantasy roster and hoping for nuggets. Let's see. Charlotte from Stockholm writes, she says, if I call a 1-800-1855, you'll get charged as a regular international call. Glad you're back three times a week. 42-21 Patriots starting with a bang. But I think
42-21.
Yeah.
I could see that. 38-14 is my pick, though.
Charlotte, I think if you go to Patriots.com in the fan, I forget what page it is, but there's a listing of all the international numbers, and I think we do have one for Sweden now. I'm pretty sure. Maybe
is that Mish?
Maybe Kevin can check that out for us. But you think 42-21 is reasonable?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 38-14, but 42-21, absolutely.
But you do hesitate. You will not, after if that's the score, you will not come out of that game going up. Offense is going to be great and defense is going to be great, right? It's the Bills.
I might be coming out of it saying the offense is great, but I don't think I'll be saying anything about the defense.
No.
Off of one game.
Right.
I mean, the offense has, you know, 10 years of goodwill built up that if they just sort of pick up where they left off, I have a confidence level in them. Defensively, if they, you know, just have shutdown performance, to me, it's one game. They have to sort of put, you know, 2 or 3 months of good work together before I'm willing to say that.
Did you find anything, Kevin?
I just asked Chris for it.
Okay.
But we'll get that answer.
All right, well, let's take a break right now. It is 12:54. A lot of emails here. We'll get to them right after this.
Come on, man. All right, man, grab a Budweiser and take a knee. Yes, it is the best time of the year. It's baseball season. Right. That means sunshine. It means behind-the-back peanut tosses, and it means sharing some cold, frosty Budweisers with your boys. Because there's nothing more American than watching America's game with America's beer. So let me ask you something. Are you ready to bring your A-game? Are you ready to cheer every frozen rope down the line and amazing catch at the warning track? Are you ready for pitcher's duels and slugfests? Tell me, are you ready for the thrill of an incredible walk-off victory? I can't hear you. Are you ready for Budweiser and baseball? Then get on your feet, raise an ice-cold Bud, and let's make this season larger than life. We're tired of waiting. Get some Bud!
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility. And NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Hungry.
Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Emails coming in about our scheduling dilemma. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, Real football's back. First off, did you read the article where Steve Johnson said that no one on the Patriots could cover him? But he did reserve a lot of respect for Patrick Chung. What a clown.
I agree.
Yeah. Now as for the show, piss on the rest of the clowns. I like the show where it is. Fits perfectly into my daily schedule. My one question is, will you be adding shows for the regular season or sticking to twice a week? No, we go three times a week during the regular season, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And last question, what are your thoughts on the Buffalo game? Can't we beat a rookie quarterback? If we can't, I think we have problems. I don't see a real test until Atlanta. Keep up the great show. Well, that's the way
I agree with
be.
That assessment of the schedule as well. Just real quick, Freddie, I've been trolling around Twitter a little bit. Gronk is meeting with the media today, first time.
Yep.
Improving a lot, really don't have a percentage, moving in the right direction. Fun to be out there in pads again. Feeling pretty good right now, still taking it day by day. So just the not giving any insight at all as to when he might be back or anything like that. But the fact that he's making progress and he's addressing the media, I think is a good sign. I would be stunned if it's beyond that third game. I think that Tampa Bay game is a very legitimate target date, and if not, that Atlanta game in week four that the emailer just touched
and
on.
The question I'd like, and it would never be answered, is what he does on a day-to-day basis now a football decision and not a medical decision? In other words, has the medical...
He's been cleared to do everything physically.
Right.
It's up to football
right.
as to how much they want to ask
right.
him to do.
So, if it was the Super Bowl, could he play? I'd like to know that. We'll never get the answer. I agree with you, Paul. I don't, obviously this game, I don't expect him. I don't expect him Thursday against the Jets. But I think there's an outside possibility we could see him in week three. And I'd say over an 80% possibility we see him in week four. So that's my take based on nothing.
And I agree with you. I think that if they thought it was trending toward, 5 or 6 weeks, I think they would have put him on PUP.
Right.
I think they think it's trending toward more like 2 or 3 weeks. So, the fact that the Jets game is on a Thursday, I think makes it difficult. I mean, if he's,
Right.
If he's not ready for the opener, I don't know why he'd be ready 4 days later.
Right.
So I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, and I think that's why you saw the moves with Fells and Ballard. I don't think they felt like they needed them long term, or short term, and I think they went out and got another guy in Mulligan to fill in maybe for a game.
Brady, let's see. Nick in Victoria says, just got the WBZ channel. Does this channel not get any of you PFW guys? One of the reasons I'm stoked is because I'm under the impression you guys are part of the Patriots interviews on this channel. Can you let me know? Well, Paul's on it. Because the BZ has all access. So the all access show that you...
Friday nights.
Do they block that out when you get it on satellite?
I have no idea.
Because remember, people that had CSNNE, out of this region, couldn't see our show because it had game highlights in it?
Yeah.
That might be the same with all access if you get WBZ out of this area.
Yeah,
I
don't know the answer to that, but I am on All Access, which airs on WBZ here locally.
When there's a pregame, do you go on BZ pregame? No, okay.
No, we're doing pregame radio.
That's true. But
the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame.
If you're able to see All Access, which is on WBZ, you'll be able to see Paul and me and Andy. We do
right.
A,
you guys are part of that as
we
well.
We do a back talk thing. What do they call it?
Trash talk. You're debuting for the season today.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like that segment.
You'll be. You don't like the segment at all.
No, because Christian Fourier is a dummy and he always votes for Andy.
Meatheads think alike.
Right. Scott writes in to the king, the bishop, and the knight.
Okay.
I don't know.
You have to be the king. I don't know who the bishop and the knight are. I guess that's me and Andy.
The caller said they need to throw some money at the secondary. In the last few years, they used a first-round pick on a safety, a first-round pick on a corner, who is now a safety, and a plethora of second and thirds, too many to count, trying to fill that role. That is not the issue. Every year, like Christmas, we get a new corner, safety, or both under the tree, and it doesn't help. That is a lot of capital to spend on one group with little success. They have also gone the undervalued route and the he may have another year left route. Nero, please, Paul. What does that mean? Nero?
I don't know, but I agree wholeheartedly with this email because I do think they've invested a lot of resources in trying to improve that secondary, and I think they have thrown money at it. Now, I don't think that all the individual ones, I'm not sure he has them all accurate, but, just look at it, Fred. We talk about all the cornerbacks that aren't here, like Butler and Will Height and Terrence Wheatley and Rashad Dowling. And then there's safeties that they've also got, like Chung and Tavon Wilson, Merriweather. to me, they went out twice in free agency the last 2 years to sign safeties that were good signings, but not the best signings. And I think that that's where you're sort of, you know, you're sort of hedging your bet. Steve Gregory and Adrian Wilson were safeties that were available that had somewhat of an NFL track record that weren't going to cost you a ton of money, but also probably weren't going to dramatically improve your secondary. And I find it hard to believe there weren't guys that were available that could potentially improve your secondary.
Scott goes on to say, Bill is not a better-than-average drafter in the secondary. As a matter of fact, you could feel the team on the second- and third-round picks he has missed on since he last hit pay dirt in the secondary.
It would struggle.
Think of all these pass rushers throughout the league that were available that we passed on because we could not fill that role. I just came back from the Southwest on vacation, and you entertained me from Vegas through the Grand Canyon to Denver. Thanks for keeping it real.
You know what I think about sometimes, Fred? I don't know if you agree with this.
What do you think about sometimes?
You know how there are guys that Bill gets, and on other teams they're nothing or, you know, bit parts, and he finds a way to create a role for them, and they become valuable players? A Rob Ninkovich. Okay? Yeah. He's done that a lot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But I also wonder if there are guys that are pretty good that if they got drafted here, wouldn't be as good as they are. Where they, you know, like pass rushing, for example. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys that have done a pretty good job of rushing the passer. And I wonder if they would have been as successful rushing the passer here as they were with the teams that they ended up going to. Do you ever think that way?
Sure.
Or do you only look at it from, you know, because I think there's a lot of guys that Bill has maximized. Danny Woodhead. You know, Wes Welker.
Right.
You know, on a high-end scale.
Right.
I think there are guys that were sort of okay players elsewhere, and Bill finds a little niche role for them, and they become really good players. I wonder if there are guys maybe elsewhere that are really good players that if they were here wouldn't have been so good.
Right. You never know. Yeah.
You know, in those roles.
Particularly in that
pass
secondary.
Rushing is what I'm thinking
pass
about.
Pass rushing, okay.
In some ways, but I don't know. You know, there's no way you can
I
know.
I just think, look, and I'm not going to defend – certainly what they've done in the draft when it comes to the secondary. It's just the track record isn't that good. But I think in this league, it's really hard to have a solid secondary. And that's why you see all these passing yards every week for almost every team. It's just hard to have depth at the secondary. You always have injuries. And it's hard to, you know, to have a core back there that's solid these days. You know, the guys like Revis are just so rare. You know, you don't have – every team doesn't have that.
No, I don't think there are a ton of really, really good secondaries in the league, but I do think there are individual players, individual cover guys that are more competitive than what the Patriots have charted out there.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of them were, you know you look at the last several drafts, you know, Seattle basically drafted that secondary that they have right now, and the only one that was Earl Thomas was a high draft pick. I think he went like 14 or so. But like Cam Chancellor is a good solid safety. You know, you could say what you want about Richard Sherman. He might be drug induced. You know, maybe that's why he was a middle round pick, and you know he became so good. I wouldn't argue with that. I think he's on something. We know he got pinched last year and got off on a technicality, but there are guys that you can get. You know, when the Patriots drafted, and, you know, I just think that the email is right. They took the wrong ones.
You asked Nick to email you all the transactions.
Yeah.
I think, Paul, you might be right there in terms of how many were this year compared to last year, because he's including practice squad. And on September 1st,
the Patriots had about 25 then, if they're including practice squad.
On September 1st, they acquired Greg Salas for an undisclosed draft pick. Then they claim Matt Tennant off waivers. So that counts.
That's two.
Then they have all the practice squads. So we're not counting all that. Then on September 2nd, they signed James Devlin to the practice squad. Again.
Doesn't count.
9-3, they signed Rex Hilliard and released Matt Tennant. And 9-5, they signed
That's four.
Him. They placed Vasante Shenko on injured reserve.
That doesn't
count. They signed Kerry Taylor and Jeremiah Warren to the practice squad, released Eric Catani and wide receiver Sam Kirkland from the practice squad. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's about four, and maybe five if you want to count Shenko.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots have had – I mean, Marquise Cole has been involved in three.
Right.
Himself.
Right.
you know, they claimed four guys off waivers. They cut and re-signed Cole. They released Washington. They have released Devlin now.
Right.
I mean, they've had more guys on
brought
the active roster.
The tight end.
They just signed Mulligan.
Right.
So there's been more activity on the active roster. If you want to add in all the practice squad,
yeah.
They signed eight guys to the practice squad. They've already let go at least one of those in Tarpinian.
Right.
Josh Klein was on the active roster. Now he's on the practice squad.
Right.
So he was released and then added to the practice squad. You're going to get close to 20 if you count practice squad stuff.
Mark in Hartlepool, UK, fantastic work off in the offseason. A job well done. When a team makes its necessary roster cuts, then starts making lots of moves to bring new players in right at the start of the season that haven't had a training camp with our particular team, does this not devalue the notion that when a player gets injured during training camp, he can never make it up and be a contributor to the team, as people like Andy say that he is too far behind as he's missed too much of the camp and team practices? Also, can the guys comment on what seems yet another worrying trend seen through the preseason games regarding our defense and their lack of ability to tackle and wrap up players up properly? This has been a problem our team has suffered from for a few seasons now. Is it the case of let's hope things improve as the season goes and hope for the best, or is it bad coaching? And what are the chances that Kenbrell Tompkins has a 1,000-yard rookie season, and have the Patriots ever had a 1,000-yard rookie receiver? They came close with Glenn.
Terry Glenn.
I thought he was 900-some-odd yards.
He was like 1,200.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He caught 90 passes.
Oh, it's 90 passes and, yeah, over 1,000 yards.
Yeah. I don't know if they've had any others. That's just one that stopped up top.
What do you
my
think
head.
About, you know, you bring in these guys who weren't with you in camp, yet you say if you miss camp, it's hard to make
Well,
that
I
up.
Think there's a difference between missing camp and not being here for camp. Those guys didn't miss camp. They played.
Right.
You know, if you're injured, you're doing nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, those guys in their respective, now they have to get up to speed on the system here in New England, and that's an obstacle. It's not ideal, but guys that are hurt, they miss all the physical. You know, the guys that they claimed off waivers went through training camps in their respective teams. I don't think it's ideal. I don't think a lot of good teams claim multiple players off waivers before the start of the season the way the Patriots did. The Patriots, I think, will be the best team to claim more than three guys off waivers over the span of probably like the last 5 years. You know, because let's face it, the Patriots are going to win a lot of games. We know that.
Right.
But you look at the other team, I think Kansas City, I think Cleveland, I think, did like seven guys off waivers. Jacksonville claimed some guys. Oakland, usually bad teams are looking for scrap heap players from other teams because their talent level isn't that high. For whatever reason, the Patriots felt like they needed to do it. I think that one of them was specifically offensive line. All their backups were sort of banged up, so they needed some guys to come in. Now, we know the Patriots knew some of these guys. You know, a lot of them, three of them were rookies. Patriots went through the pre-draft process with all these guys. They don't just know about the guys they end up picking.
Right.
And then you sort of watch them during the summer, and you have your scouts watching the games in other places. We see here in Foxborough, every preseason game, there's, you know, 20.
Old friend Dave Uris is here a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
20,
yeah.
But there's 20-some-odd scouts from other teams at every preseason game here at Gillette. So the Patriots are certainly doing their due diligence. They watch these guys. And I also, I wonder, Fred, to add one more thing to that. Do you think there's anything to the fact that they signed a guy, like the guy from the linebacker from Detroit spent camp in Buffalo?
Yeah.
You know, and now you play in Buffalo. You know, in a middle linebacker type. I saw Mike Reese wrote about this yesterday. It's something I think may have had a sliver of.
I think you don't go overboard saying how important, but I think you can get something from
but
that.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're looking at this guy first and foremost. Maybe he's a special teamer who can help you out in an area that you might need one other guy. Okay? But, hey, as an ancillary benefit, he was in Buffalo all training camp. He's a middle linebacker, so he knows their defense. Buffalo's using a new defense now, even though we're familiar with the coordinator from the Jets.
Right.
It's a new defense for them. Hey, what's he been doing?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the driving force behind claiming that guy, but it might have had something to do with it. The offensive lineman spent some time with the Dolphins, another division team.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're just looking for a little intel as well.
Sure. Brian in Essex, Vermont, quick question concerning Gronk. It's really for Andy, but Paul and I can answer this. Has he regained much of his muscle already, or is that something he's working on? I mean, he's noticeably...
That'll be my first question when Andy returns, by the way.
I mean, he is noticeably smaller in the terms of muscle atrophy from lack of working out, just trying to gauge where he's at. I did see Gronk the other day, and I would say he still needs to put on between 11 and 15 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is, but I agree with Fred. I think he still looks a little bit smaller.
Yep.
And he's just – maybe it's just because he's so massive.
Right.
That even a little bit.
You look at him, he's still a larger than average human being.
Yeah. And you certainly wouldn't look at him and say, oh, that guy needs to get in shape.
And looks in great shape, by the way. But I'd say size-wise, he's probably 11 pounds lighter than he was at his playing weight last year. So, you know, but these guys can put that on quick. They get in, they drink those protein shakes and, you know, they eat.
But it's the lifting that he wasn't able to do.
Right.
You know, he probably missed 6 or 7 weeks of
he'll
of lifting.
Get that back.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
As I've said, and I will continue to say, he's fine. let's see. Christian says Wednesday and Thursday, 2 to 4 is the answer. I need everyone in the house. However, isn't Paul on Felger and Maz on Wednesdays from 4 to 5?
Yes,
if
Christian,
so,
you
have
are correct.
To go at 3 because he has a thing. If so, that sucks.
Yeah, and you know my schedule better than I do. I didn't even think of that.
Right. So, well, we'll have to see how things go. We're not going to make any decision for a couple weeks because football could change their schedule, and then then we'd have to go back. So we'll see how permanent the football schedule is first before we make any changes. So we'll just have to muddle through this for a while.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because even now, like, I don't like when we're not all here and there's no sort of conflict.
Right.
You know, because right. By now, somebody would have said something that one of us didn't agree with.
Right.
But when there's only two of us, it's chances of that happening are much less. You're afraid to take me on by yourself. You need someone to help you.
Oh, okay. Matt in Southern Cal says, so glad to have you back to 3 days a week. We usually cut a bunch of players but keep a few around to bring back later. Who do you think has a chance of coming back sometime later in the season? Well, I think either Ballard or Fells have a chance of coming back.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen with either one. I think James Devlin will be back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't completely rule out Leon Washington, although I'm not as high on that as most people. You know, we all saw that his locker was intact yesterday, and, you know, everybody wrote about it. Andy put it in our notebook on Monday, not yesterday, Monday, because we weren't in the locker room yesterday. Yeah, I see Eric is tweeting about that now, 2 days late, $2 short. But I'm not sure that that's as big a driving force as everybody else does, the whole non-guaranteed salary stuff. I think they feel like if they need a guy, you know, they'll just re-sign him. And I think, you know, the fact that Washington is – at least visiting other teams tells me that they don't have any sort of arrangement with them.
Right now, they may not need a guy at tight end, but, you know, Sudfeld didn't exactly go through college without injury.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but I would think Gronkowski's going to come back.
Right, right.
Can he make it 2 or 3 games?
Yeah. We'll see.
Now, listen, injuries, that's different. If you have injuries and you need, some replacements for you know, God forbid if Gronk ends up just not being able, you have to put up Gronk on IR.
Right.
He comes back, plays 3 games, it's just not working. And you got to put him on IR. Well, a guy like Fells or Ballard becomes, very valuable, I would think.
Yep.
But, you know, assuming health, I don't think you'll see either one of those guys back.
Also, Matt says, how do you think our defense will hold up against E.J. Manuel? What do we know about this guy so far? And does he have any chance of helping the Bills be competitive this season?
It depends on what your definition of competitive is. I think if he works out and he progresses as the season goes and he becomes a promising player, I think they could win 6 games. Does that make you competitive?
No. Do you think any team, if they start the season 0-2 and realize this ain't going to work, will tank for Clowney? Do you think he's worth tanking a season for?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't really think that players are really worth tanking seasons for.
Well, the question is, do you think teams tank seasons?
Yeah, probably, but I don't think they would do it after 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, in other words, I don't think that the grand plan I don't think the grand plan for Bill Polian 2 years ago was to do that. I don't think that they really knew that Peyton Manning wasn't going to be able to play.
I think
that surprised them.
Look at the Jets now, okay? Rex Ryan ain't going to be back. So you got this new GM who says, you know what? I'm going to get a new coach next year. I might as well start him off with the first pick of the draft and let him start fresh. I could see the Jets tanking this year.
Well, see, I just think it's different. What are you doing to tank is my question. Like, give me a tangible reason to say, oh, look at that. Like, the Colts, they went out and signed Kerry Collins before the start of the season. If they fully intended on tanking, wouldn't they have just played Curtis Painter?
The indication
and said, there's no way this stiff is going to win any games.
The indication of tanking is when veterans start going on IR.
Right, but that happens after you're already established as like 0-6.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think if Bill Polian wanted to tank, and that was his idea for that season, I think the Colts eventually tanked. I do. I don't think they did anything.
I don't think
they did anything to prevent what happened.
Right.
But going into the season, I don't think they knew that Peyton Manning wasn't going to be available.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he's not available. And what did Bill Polian do? He didn't turn it over to Dan Orlovsky or Curtis Painter. He went out and signed Kerry Collins, thinking to himself, now wrongly, but thinking to himself, this is a veteran quarterback. Maybe he can be serviceable, and I can find a way to, you know, maybe split the first 6 or 8 games, be 4-4, and then Peyton could come back and get us to the playoffs. I think that was what his thought was. Now, Collins was a train wreck and was nowhere near ready to play. So all of a sudden, you're 0-8 instead of 4-4 after those games. Now, tank is full effect. Now, like you said, every veteran on earth is finding a way to get themselves on IR so they don't have to play.
And I think that, you know, if the Jets start out badly, which we all think
you will see tanking.
I think
I
you're going to see tanking, and I think the fact that, in you know, again, I don't know this, but that it's not a fact, but Rex Ryan not coming back next year plays into that. You know, he's a lame duck coach. We might as well start fresh next year with a new coach and a high draft pick.
Yeah, now, what will be interesting for the Jets is, as you're tanking, I assume Geno Smith is going to be playing. So how does he play?
You know,
does he play well?
Right.
But you lose because then, listen, he could play really well and they could still,
right,
you know, be hard pressed to win more than 4 or 5 games, right?
Right.
They're not very good.
That's right.
But what if he plays really well? Or what if he's just sort of average and you're like, this guy isn't very good?
Right.
Do you have to take a quarterback?
Oh, geez.
Do you have to take Teddy Bridgewater instead of Clowney?
Oh, man.
Like, I don't know what you do.
Yeah. Well, I think
you got to hope that he really, like, he's sort of like.
But whose pick was Geno Smith? Was it Rex Ryan or Idzik? So
Rex Ryan is power. Right. Rex is dead man walking.
So now, knowing the ego of these guys, Idzik probably thinks Geno Smith's my guy, so I have my quarterback.
Right. So what if he doesn't sort of declare himself?
What do you mean if he doesn't?
Like, if Geno Smith is just sort of, he's okay. I don't know if he stinks, and I don't know if he's good.
Idzik will say, it's first year, he's still our quarterback, let's build around him.
Okay, what if he stinks? And it's clear that he's Blaine Gabbert. He ain't the answer.
Well, then they got a problem there.
Well, you got to draft a quarterback with that first pick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Mark Sanchez comes back.
They're talking about they might just release him.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, he could go on IR. He could get released. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I love how
you could fall that far.
It's great. Brian writes in.
I said at the time, his biggest problem was accuracy, and you can't teach that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get better with some, you know, mechanical tweaks here and there, but if you can't throw the ball accurately, I don't think that's something that can be improved upon.
You don't think decision-making also plays?
Oh, that's a big problem for him, too. But I think the bigger problem is he doesn't throw the ball where he wants to.
Brian writes in, I was hoping we could run down the wide receivers and the potential that you see, especially from the young guys. Has Brady clicked with anyone? I think Tompkins has the potential to put up 6 to 7 touchdowns this year. Thanks, and remember, Susie is Hutter, damn Skippy. Haven't heard that one in a long time.
Damn Skippy?
Yeah, that or Susie Colbert references. I mean, for a while, Andy, that you'd have at least one of those a show, right?
Susie Colbert?
Rex Ryan has refused to answer uncomfortable questions about videos posted on Deadspin.com that suggest he and his wife are linked to foot fetish porn.
But remember, early in Andy's career, he was a big Susie Colbert
fan. Oh, I like Suze. Yeah. I'm a big Susie fan, too.
You're damn Skippy.
I think that Tompkins is the guy that Brady seems to be most comfortable with. I would agree with that. I'm not going to get into the projection of statistics because I just don't know how that's going to unfold. I don't know what kind of opportunity. I don't know if they're going to run the ball more. I don't know what exactly how they're going to go about it offensively. I think Amendola is going to be the main focus. I'm pretty comfortable with that. But I don't know after that if they're going to continue to go with tight ends as much. You know, something that you've been talking about all offseason, Fred. Do they sort of stay with that two tight end look? Mm-hmm. And, you know, do they go too tight, too wide? Or do they have three wide and only one?
I think
Shane
Vereen factors into this. If he becomes the type of player that we think he might, he changes the offense.
Yeah, I'll give you another example. When the preseason, the last two games, we saw a lot of two-back sets with Devlin. Well, Devlin's not here now. So right. Does that take that away? Or do you line up the who man in the backfield and still kind of do some of that two-back stuff? I think the Patriots' offense is still, still in question in terms of how they're going to go about it. I think they'll be productive because I think Brady is that good. But I don't know exactly how it's going to unfold.
Let's see. Hamza in Toronto writes in, I haven't written in since the end of last season as I've been traveling all summer. I have to admit, you and Eric. I wonder if you bumped into him in your travels.
Yeah, Eric does quite a bit of travel. He's a well-traveled man.
I have to admit, I checked out a little to lick my wounds after the playoff loss, as I typically do each year. Then when I was ready to check back in, it was just in time for the Hernandez thing, which of course promptly sent me packing again. It's just been that type of offseason, and I'm very glad to see it end. Suffice to say, it is a treat to hear your snarky voices again, even when they are muffled by the sound of chewing in the ever-reliable Fred Belch. Back on the wagon again. I don't think I've had one of those today, and we haven't eaten yet, so we're certainly
not
sure.
Well, that's why we haven't had one of those.
Eric talks with his mouth full a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
And he never, shuts the mic off when he takes a bite.
Yeah, and, for someone who likes to consider himself a bon vivant and
above the fray,
more cultured than we are, he has very bad eating manners.
He does, and he chews gum on the radio, too. I don't know who told him that was a good idea.
Yeah. I know I told him not to do that anymore, but he still chews and talks with his mouth full. Anyway, just a quick football question from Hamza. Since it is roster finalization time, I noticed, as always, the peculiar phenomenon of cutting players, only resign them basically a few hours later, or the reverse, signing and then releasing, and then signing them again possibly. My question is, how does this work in terms of compensation? Do the Patriots do this more than at other teams? And does the team lose any money by juggling and shuffling things in this way with back-of-roster players? How much of anything does it cost, for example, to make Ross Ventrone basically follow the team's plane around in his car all year in case he gets called? Do we incur any penalties or sunk money by having a guy on the roster for a few hours? Lastly, what a bummer about Mesko. I guess in the end, you can mess with the Zoltan after all. Unless there's a signing bonus involved, which there aren't for these guys, or very little, no, you don't lose any money by doing this. You have to have 53 men on your roster.
Right, and I don't know exactly the reason why, specifically this one. Marquise Cole was cut on a Sunday and re-signed on a Monday. I don't know the reason for that. That doesn't really do anything to his, he's not a big salary guy. The veteran thing, if you're on the roster, I believe by Tuesday of week one, I think that guarantees your salary for the season. But I'm not exactly sure why they have so many back and forths. I don't think it's hugely financial related in terms of the guys that are involved. Like you said, there's no big signing bonuses, which if you cut a guy like that, then that's hurting you on the cap. I don't think you see that very often.
The Ace Ticket Hotline is 855-PATS-500. And if you're out of the country, we have a bunch of international phone numbers on our website that you can use. Dan is in Virginia. Dan, how you doing?
Good, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Dan?
I thought I'd give you a little bit of a break from talking to one another and just chime in with some comments and a few questions. Earlier in the year, I was compiling a list of Pats that may be surprise cuts, and this is obviously, as I'll read out the names, very early in the off season. But I thought Ballard, Jenkins, Mesko, Blunt or Bolden, and Edelman and Slater were all on the list of people who might be surprise cuts. And obviously, I got 3 out of 6. And after the preseason, I was thinking it was actually more Bolden than Blunt that would be cut, given that Bolden had a few drops and so forth. I heard you guys discussing earlier regarding Mesko that it seemed to be largely a money issue, but the thing to recall is that his punting averages last season were the lowest for his career so far.
Yeah, he had a tough year last year.
I remember a few complaints that he wasn't pinning teams deep when the Pats really needed him to.
Yeah, I do think that some of that is a little circumstantial. I think that they have so many plus 50 punts that his average took a hit as a result, but I also agree with that second part that you just said, Dan. I do think he had some opportunities to do a little bit better in terms of pinning guys, pinning teams, say, inside the 10, and he wasn't always great at that, especially in big spots.
Mm.
I agree with that, and I don't think he's been great in the playoffs when, you know, he's actually been asked to punt more often in the playoffs than he had in the regular season.
And the other possible explanation, which Andy brought up, which makes sense, is that next year Mesko becomes a free agent, and if you really think Ryan Allen is close to, you know, what he can do, it makes sense to sign him now because, you know, he may not make it through waivers if you try to put him on your practice squad. So,
that's the other side of the equation that people are forgetting about. Allen's a two-time Ray Guy winner, and in the preseason especially, he showed some skill angling the ball to get some teams in some tough positions. So
he had a beautiful kick against the Giants that last game to do just that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Paul's been reminding us all offseason about the Ray Guy Award. So, you know.
All I said was that I believe this is a competition.
No, but you're right.
And I was
you were
right.
Right.
I was right.
Just like you were right about Adrian Wilson.
Yeah, and Andy liked to make fun of me all summer for saying that, but you don't hear him saying anything about it now.
All right, Dan. Well,
speaking of which.
Andy and Eric just walked in.
What else you got, Dan?
So, I mean, you can stay on the line if you want and listen to them. But
no, I want to hear his question.
Oh, okay. What's your question, Dan?
I'll do a couple then since the guys are back in. But with Mesko, given that he had sort of contributed so much to the Patriots' charitable activities, I know the cuts tend to be fairly direct and businesslike. But for a guy like that who has done so much for the charity side of the team, was there anything, you know, Robert Kraft sort of give him a personal farewell or something? A couple more questions.
He might have, yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly plausible. I don't know specifically either way, but we know that Robert communicates with players like that he has a legitimate relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And based on everything Mesko did, he was the Ron Burton Award winner last year.
Yep.
I wouldn't be stunned to find out that Robert had some communication with him.
And I was surprised they kept Bolden after his drops and troubles in the preseason. But does that indicate that there's going to be even more of an emphasis on the run than perhaps has already been reported?
I don't think so.
They like him
okay.
for
and,
some reason.
And they got rid of Washington, and he's more versatile
as
a backup than
Bolden.
I mean, than
although I'll say this, I am not going to be surprised at all if Leon Washington is back on this team next week.
He may or may not be, but he's working out for other teams.
Yeah,
so
he is.
I will be surprised.
He's certainly not just doing the,
safety?
Eric Morris or whatever. They just like sat in Foxborough, and I would see him like working out at the gym until he was
back. But usually they don't usually keep a guy's locker intact if they don't have some sort of plan.
Because they didn't keep everyone. Tim Tebow doesn't have a locker.
Right.
Tim Tebow, it says New England Patriots,
exactly.
And the locker is clean. It's totally empty.
Leon Washington still has a locker, and
what
his pads
that means
are still
or
there.
Doesn't mean, who knows?
Right. But that's just something
to know.
What
color are his pads?
He still had the white practice jersey over them, so I didn't see him.
Because that would be notable to me, because I think he might have been one of those guys that had one of the old pads, either Seahawks or Jets, and he would need to bring those if he planned on bringing them to the next team. And
Some guys wear their college pads.
Oh, yeah, they go way back.
I don't know.
Nobody wears Patriots pads for some reason.
Well, thanks for the call, Dan. As you might have noticed, Eric and Andy have returned from the locker room, and Eric, also Bill Belichick, in practice. So why don't we get an update from you guys while Paul and I wolf down some food?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest thing, it doesn't involve practice. It involves after practice and Rob Gronkowski speaking to us for the first time. And well, no, but he was, you know, he started off being, I think, quiet, you know, reluctant to say anything. But I think some of the things he did end up saying were pretty noteworthy. Like someone asked him if he took any setbacks, and he's definitively nope. He's been making progress since he got back, and I think that was significant, at least that he was admitting that. You know,
and he's obviously doing way more than he was six weeks ago. Despite Bill Belichick saying
same thing every single day, right? But whether or not he's going to play this weekend. Did anyone pointedly ask him that?
No. He avoided all those. He basically said getting better every day. Somebody asked chances and then percentages. Hmm. There were a couple of those that he avoided. It was his tagline was just getting better every day.
Yeah.
And talking to the trainers, how I feel, and getting better every day. He kept day by day, mm-hmm. better every day was clearly kind of how they told him to deal with those. He was, I think, nervous/hesitant, as he should be, because you know, the last thing he heard from somebody was, don't be dumb enough to, you know, give them something as to when you're coming back or what your percentage is and all that. He did a good job avoiding all those by just basically saying the same thing over and over.
And the reason I think it's tough for him, as opposed to some guys who are, like Danny Woodhead, was a master at not saying anything and not wanting to say anything. And I think that was the key. I don't think Danny Woodhead particularly enjoyed talking to the media.
Right.
I think Gronk does.
Well, he's a personality, right? That's what I mean. Everything he does,
and I think he likes engaging people,
right?
And it doesn't matter if you have a microphone or not. I think he just likes to talk.
Well, it's kind of the Bill Belichick thing where we say everybody else tries to do the Bill Belichick. I'm not going to answer that, and then they answer it eventually. If three, four questions in, Bill won't.
Yeah.
But normal human nature, a lot of people, it takes over and they can't help themselves. And Rob definitely has one of those personalities more so than just stonewall. You say nothing.
Do you think if Sunday was a Super Bowl, he'd be cleared to play?
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
I don't know.
I mean, he's still clearly. There's medical and football at play here. Well, he said, I check in with the trainers. I'm paraphrasing, but I check in with the trainers, see how I feel, and we go from there.
So you don't think it's yet a football decision?
Not football
only.
No,
I don't think so. No.
But, like, we saw with Jake Ballard. He was on the football field, but Bill referenced how they checked in. You know, I think it was after the first preseason game, he played 12 snaps, and he talked about the medical staff was still involved, right, increasing his workload.
And I think that's why we have Matt Mulligan on this roster right now.
Yeah.
I really do think that, like, if Gronk were ready to play football-wise, health-wise, everything, I don't think Matt Mulligan's yet signed.
No.
But he did. And I think, to me, that suggests that Gronk is not going to be playing at least this weekend.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, Andy, really the only thing I'm concerned about, how did he look physically?
Did you
get close enough to see?
I saw him. He looked I still think he looks smaller.
Me too. Upper body wise.
5 pounds, 10 pounds, 50. I have no idea. That's hard to say. Smaller than the Gronk in my mind.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
And it's 11 to 15 pounds.
Okay.
And the... The eyeball test on the football field tells you that, too, because he just doesn't look – he doesn't fill out the uniform the way he did before.
Which is not really the issue. I mean, it is the issue. It's sort of the – but the issue is – and he doesn't know this yet because he hasn't done it. Like I joked earlier, you know, Adrian Claiborne, he has to block him. What happens? You know, what does he feel like? Does he feel like Gronk? Does he feel like, wow, I'm not as strong as I used to be? Because it's been literally since last November,
right,
since he lifted –
is there
hardcore, full-time, regularly.
Yes.
Is there any – I know you don't want anyone to have to sit out because of injury, but is there anything to be said in the fact that, you know, he went through a whole season in college and having to get back to playing football and
– No, because he had a full year.
Well, I know, but –
That was September to September.
But that first time, you know, playing and you know, not knowing how am I going to be when I'm on the field.
No,
he's been through that already.
But he hasn't like
but
this.
But it wasn't, because
it was so elongated. He skipped the combine. He didn't work at the combine that year because
he
wasn't recovered. And that was 6 months after surgery.
No,
so
but what I'm
it's
saying
so
is,
different.
He's lived through coming back to the field after an extended period being off because of injury.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but that one, my guess is in his mind, he was 1,000,000,000% when he took his first hit after that injury. My guess is in his mind this time, he will not be 1,000,000,000%.
It'll be in the back
because
in the front of his
he
mind.
Doesn't have the same period that he had when he had this surgery the last time.
Yeah, he had.
I mean, it wasn't his full year.
It was
till training camp was like 10 months from the last.
But
surgery.
He basically had as much time as you can get
right.
And not miss another season. You know,
so it's different.
Yeah,
and it's quicker now. The actual process he knows, but I think it's a different timetable, and that changes kind of the whole dynamic of the situation. My other observation from the locker room, and I'm not sure who it was, Eric, maybe you saw the the backup offensive lineman guy that looks kind of like Armin Armstead, who was straddling that new vibrating machine.
That's A.J. Francis, the D-lineman.
Oh, A.J. Francis. You know that new machine, that cylinder they have that vibrates?
Working his posterior.
He was like sitting on it, and it reminded me of the scene from the Howard Stern movie where the woman's sitting on the speaker. And he's just like, and he's smiling because he sees people looking at him. He's just like smiling, looking around.
Giardi and I were trying not to
laugh.
It's
not a big tube that's vibrating.
In the middle of Aaron Dobson's interview at that point.
It was very
funny.
That's
when it was happening.
I think it's called the Sibian.
Is this a joke? I don't know.
Isn't that what it's on the Howard Stern
show? Yeah, if you listen to Howard Stern, the Sibian is what...
For women?
Yeah, they sit on it. And...
No, this is an actual medical instrument.
Yep.
Fred wanted to use it the other day.
I'd laugh a lot at that, too. I did speak with Chandler Jones, so Thursday, 7:30,
Andy!
Comcast. Chandler Jones interview.
Great. How did that go?
Good. I wouldn't say great.
Yeah. You didn't get much out of him?
He was in his veteran patriot. The only really good answer, I didn't know, he wears winter hats all the time. I didn't really know all the time. He literally wears them all the time. He says he plays video games at home. He turns the air conditioning way up and then wears a winter hat while playing video games, like, at home. So,
why is that?
He just likes it. But so, I do think it's funny.
He wears a hat because it's cold, but he makes it cold.
Well, he likes the hat, and then I guess he doesn't want to get too hot, so he turns up the AC so he can keep his hat on. You know, I'm thinking it would save a lot if he just took the hat off. But.
Right. All right, so that we have that to look forward
Matthew
to.
Matthew Mulligan, I was in on a little bit.
Yep.
The main boy who is now your blocking backup tight end. I didn't know his whole story. I mean, I knew he was from Maine, but he didn't really play football until D3, I think. He played like 1 year, and then he went to Maine.
Didn't have a football team.
Right. So he's only got like 6 years of football under his belt, 4 years in the NFL, two in college. And he joked that, you know, it's hard right now learning the offense, and he's always had kind of been behind in that. He said even at Maine, people were like, they thought he had learning disabilities because they're like, why don't you get this? You should get this. It's easy football. And he's like, I didn't play football. Not everything comes easy to him. So he was kind of joking about that. But he thinks it's a benefit, too, that he's really fresh. Doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on the old frame. So he seemed like a nice guy, local boy, Maine guy. He's been hearing from a lot of family and friends. Not a Patriots fan, was a Cowboys fan.
Really?
Yeah, because of his uncle?
Uncle, I believe he said,
So I don't know if that was just his uncle was a fan, or did his uncle have NFL connections?
I didn't think so, but I just assumed his uncle liked the Cowboys, so he likes the Cowboys. But.
Anybody bring up Stevie Johnson and any reaction to that
yes,
quote?
Yes, Paul's one of Paul's favorite guys brought up that question several times. No, during the...
Volan.
No, actually.
Wow,
Jeff Howe.
I have a longer list.
Many.
I have a longer list than even I knew about.
The training camp bad question guy.
Oh.
Oh, we can't say.
Yeah.
And did he get anything out of it? I didn't
Hector
hear any
Longo
of those.
Rules in effect.
Did he get anything out of it? I didn't hear any.
Not really.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't expect it.
So nobody was willing to address that one?
No.
Okay.
Was Brady asked about it?
Yes.
What he
asked Brady and Bill about it.
What did Brady say?
Someone asked Brady.
He asked. I'm sorry, Paul. He said the way he asked Brady was, "Have you?" He said, "You know, this is what Stevie Johnson said. Have you ever prepared for an opponent that didn't exist?" And Brady was just like, just kind of like gave an awkward smile and said, "No, never did that."
Yeah.
And then turned around.
Like the question
made no
wasn't.
Sense.
Yeah. It's the way par for the course.
The way he asked Bill
that question
was,
makes no sense.
The way he asked Bill was. Stated what Stevie Johnson said and then said, does that make you laugh? And, of course, nothing makes him laugh. So,
I mean, I think if you wanted to ask a question... Wow, you are bad.
He comes in just firing.
I think if you wanted to see if you could elicit something from that question, if it was so important to you, wouldn't you just say, you know, have you ever been confused in preparing for a team and forgot that a player that you're used to preparing for is not there? When you play Baltimore... You know, you're still preparing for Ed Reed.
Right.
You know, that'd be a way to say it without. You ever prepare for an opponent that doesn't exist?
Right.
I mean, Patrick Chung exists. He just doesn't exist in the Bills secondary. He's on Philadelphia. Yeah. Plus, not sure he'd be one, you know, that you'd be targeting anyway.
I'd be targeting him.
Yeah. No, not. You know what I mean.
Much the way I would want to target
him.
Did
we glean anything out of Bill Belichick today?
No. Not really. No.
Okay.
Nothing. I mean, the only thing he said. This
Stringing
was, this
them together.
Was, well, yeah, he was asked about Gronk, and that is what he said. You know,
same
just
thing.
Just trying to string a few together. He did. There. This was interesting. Somebody. I forgot how it came up, but His response to one question was, I've always said dependability matters more than ability.
It's a good quote.
Well, it was a good quote.
Andy loves those that like, then, have a sort of measure to them.
Somebody covering the Jets beat retweeted, Rex Ryan just said in a press conference, I've always said ability matters, or dependability matters more than ability. So they shared the same
Great minds think
something.
Alike.
Yeah.
Now, last night, was that the first Bill Belichick Roger interview Gowling with Salk and Holly of the season, or have they done it already?
They've done it already.
Okay. Because the first question, like, Salk came off like, so, Bill, you know, how you doing? You know, welcome to the show, blah, blah, blah. What happened with Adrian Wilson? Like, he was really going to get it. Bill's like, he got hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
And did Salk say, okay.
Pretty much. There were no follow-ups to any questions.
Holly wasn't even there, so the off chance.
Was it Buck?
Well, it was Steve Buckley.
Yeah, the off chance that you might have had, like, some sort of back and forth with someone who was comfortable with him was gone.
Right.
Yeah. That's where that station misses Glenn, because he was as good as anyone could be with Bill. You guys allow – it's true.
I
give credit where credit's
due. I actually think Holly is as good as anyone can be if you're going to throw that phrase around.
Oh, I think Glenn was better than
Holly.
Yeah,
I don't.
The Brady interview in the morning occasionally elicits something, generally by accident. The Bill interview in the afternoon
is terrible.
I'd be hard pressed to come up with, you know, more than a couple.
But I don't think Glenn did it any differently.
No, I don't either.
And I actually think Holly's the best. I don't think he's gotten anything out of it, but I think he tries.
Bill is too smart. He's not going to give you what you want. It's like, you know, when you said, you know, you could just ask Bill 3, 4, 5 times, he's not going to vary. Other guys
will.
You know, they sort of break character and they crack. But Bill doesn't do that. Even when he likes the guy, he knows what you're looking for. He's not going to give it to you.
If he had been in A Few Good Men, Tom Cruise would have lost.
Now, a couple of those, you know, a couple of times he'd give you something entertaining. Like I think the Charlie Casserly line may have come on with Glenn Orton.
He wants it to come.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing.
The guy, you know, Glenn
could have easily said that at a press conference.
Patrick
too,
Pass was a good player for you, and Bill was ready with his Charlie Casserly line.
But that's my point.
His plan that day was take a shot at Charlie.
You could argue if someone was arguing the Fred side of Glenn. Glenn was good. He did it with Glenn. He didn't do it in a press conference. He could have easily done it just the way you just said. Regardless of, I'm going to get this out there. I have this line about Casserly. I'm going to use it.
How about the size of the media contingent today? Was it
big?
Yeah,
big?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, everybody.
First
here.
Use of the new media workroom for a press conference situation, and that went over pretty well.
How did that go?
Yeah, it went swimmingly. Brady actually made a nice little joke about that when he first got up to the podium. He goes, wow, this is posh, isn't there something, you know.
Put it in first down
cushy,
and put a photo so that our wing provider will be happy.
Yeah, I already have a photo of the
good.
New media workroom. Who are you? Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Will you please stop pooping yourself?
Luckily, they were silent, but I was just going back and forth in the locker room.
Of note,
bombs.
At practice,
he's proud of himself.
Freddie, only Will's VTech is missing, and he's been visible in the locker room.
Walking around with a brace on his right knee.
A sleeve and a brace on the right knee.
The old surgical sock and a sleeve and a brace and limp a little bit.
But
okay, well,
they're as healthy as they
Luckily,
can be.
Luckily, we have 17 offensive linemen.
Yeah, I know.
I think he got scoped?
Oh, I don't know.
No, not
necessarily. The sock just...
I didn't say he did. I said, do you think he got scoped?
Oh, I thought you were going based on the surgical sock, but that just promotes fluid movement and stuff like that. I don't think it... Yeah, I doubt it. But he could have.
I think there's a chance because of the amount of... I mean, two guys they claimed, right? Two offensive linemen?
Yeah, I don't know. They probably claimed 8, got rid of 6, added 4.
It was two offensive linemen, a defensive lineman, and a linebacker were the four guys they claimed.
I think it also tells you that Connolly isn't quite 100%, and they're not.
I think Marcus Cannon's lost weight, by the way.
I was kind of thinking that, too.
He's much smaller. Svelter.
Not as much pow as Freddie likes to say.
Are you happy with what you saw with Cannon in preseason? No.
I have yet to
preseason,
see
preseason, no. Against the Giants, yeah. I thought he looked good against the Giants. The rest of the preseason, he did nothing.
Okay.
He was hurt.
But he does look like he lost weight or maybe redistributed, they like to say.
James in New Jersey writes in, who do you think will be the top three in sacks this year on the team? I'm thinking Jones, Ninko, and Tommy Kelly.
I'm thinking with you.
Jones.
Yeah, that's good.
Probably not
Jones,
Kelly, but I like Kelly.
Yeah,
so
Jones,
I'll say
though.
Kelly.
I like Jones.
Oh, definitely Jones. If Jones doesn't lead this team in sacks, it's not good for this team.
I would agree.
All right.
So Jones, Ninkovich, but I think you could see
Spikes.
Spikes, Hightower, Mayo, any one of those I think could get hot and get that six sacks that might take to finish third or wherever. But most important one is Jones and making sure he has somewhere in the range of 12 to 20. It's a big range, too.
Okay.
12 to 20. That's like a weatherman with the, you know, you, six to 18 inches.
But no, that you know how I think of sacks. If you're good, you roll out of bed and get your double-digit sacks. The great season comes when you get a couple where, you know, they're a little fluky or Ninkovich, a guy into you. I think that next step is somewhat circumstantial sometimes. And I think that's where he's going to be. I think he's going to be good. So he's going to get his double-digit sacks. And then the rest is kind of how the rest of the defense plays, who's flushing guys to him. Does he get a Rosie Colvin where the guy falls down and he just taps him on the foot? A couple of those in there, and all of a sudden you're up to 18.
Making fun of Rosie.
I think Rosie would say yes.
Before we get too far toward the end of the show, I just want to remind everyone we are back at our regular season schedule. So immediately following this show, John Rook will be back here with the Patriots playbook. And Eric, will you be joining him for some of that?
Sure.
So it's step back,
inside,
baby.
You step inside the playbook.
The Rook and the Queen.
No, I had.
Okay. That so you could just say yes.
Okay, yes.
So you two are going to fight over nothing.
That's what we do on this show.
So John Rook will be back at 2 o'clock with Patriots Playbook, and then at 4 o'clock it's the Fantasy Football Champs. So I'm sure a lot of people have those last-minute drafts coming up with the season starting tomorrow night.
How many championships do these guys have?
What do you mean?
Well, the name of their show is Fantasy Football Champs.
They win a lot. They win a lot.
Can I see proof?
They win their leagues a lot.
They say they do, anyway.
So that'll be at 4 o'clock. So
I've
get
never
your,
lost.
Get your fantasy football questions into them played. For the 4 o'clock show.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, we'll be back tomorrow again with the same lineup. So we're back.
Maybe for a while until we change it.
We talked about that at length, Paul and I, about and possible. Well,
this is the first week of the season, too, that we get to go back to the 1 o'clock games.
That's correct.
That's right. We'll I do did, that on I Thursday.
We'll skip over.
I broached the.
Go ahead.
I broached the idea of getting a player if we were to stay in this time slot, and seemed
How'd
to be receptive.
Well,
really,
if you broached
really?
It to the person
one
I'm thinking
per week,
of,
not necessarily
I can
both days.
That because he's very cooperative.
But no, it wasn't that person.
Oh,
no?
Was it?
But it was someone else who's cooperative.
Oh, okay.
I didn't broach it with the uncooperative people.
But one person said they'd like to keep it this way because it's better for his schedule. And another person said we should go to 2 to 4, but on Wednesday that would be a problem because Paul has to go to Felger and Maz on 2 to 4 at 3 o'clock. So, no matter what we do, we're screwed.
Plus, we don't know if they're going to keep this schedule.
Right, right. So I did tell people we're not going to make any decisions for a couple weeks to see how things settle in.
Yeah, feel it out.
Just like knowing your team, it takes us a couple weeks to know our.
Sure.
Our
There's a reason they call it midseason form.
That's right. So for now, we'll be on from 12 to 2, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday every week.
And what's on Friday?
Replay.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you why. We used to stream out EEI's Patriots Friday, but EEI has moved all the player interviews, which is the only reason we did it, because when they're not doing that, they're talking Red Sox anyway. They moved that to WAAF, which is a rock and roll station. So we're not going to stream that out all day.
Hell no.
So we'll get the interviews and we'll post them on Patriots.com, but we're not streaming EE on Fridays.
And he threw his hands up when he said that.
So now people will say, well, oh, good. So now you guys can do an extra show on Friday.
That's what I said.
Well, we have other things to do, too. At least I do. I mean, if you guys want to come down here and do a show.
We used to do a Friday show.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I would
I don't
love
know
to,
how you don't remember that. We did picks on Friday.
Editor.
Huh?
Hire a copy editor, and we'll come down and do a show.
Okay. So it costs me more money.
So that's not going to happen.
Can't we get, like, a temp to edit the paper?
We tried that once.
It didn't work.
Remember that guy? Were you here when we had him?
No. That's my whole point. 15 years ago, you had a guy.
You tried it once.
And he changed something, and you and Brian got your panties in a bunch.
This guy would show up in a Zubas. I kid you not.
Who was he?
I forget
his name. What were his credentials?
It was long enough ago, Andy, that I wasn't here yet.
He was one of those really technical editors, and like he would just question everything.
How technically could he have been if he was wearing Zubaz?
We have, I know. And Maury would get so mad, Brian.
But we can't find like the former editor of the Providence Journal, who's retired, and just get a guy?
I have guys that have asked me about it.
Like legitimate ones? Like
yeah.
Editors?
Yes. Listen, I don't know if you know, but newspapers is sort of a dying business.
Exactly.
There's a lot of out-of-work copy editors.
We can't pay them, you know, a little bit of something, something coming
I still have to read everything.
That's your problem.
You know?
Then we can do Friday radio, baby. Booyah. Digital. It's the wave of the future.
Kind of like having Fridays.
But we still might could have the same issue on Friday.
But we would be out of here. It would be the same timing.
Yeah, it's just like instead of spending time reading pages and editing,
right,
we'd be entertaining our thousands,
like, you know,
upon
when you write
hundreds
a story
of thousands
for the web,
of listeners.
And you just post it, and you're done. That's what it would be.
So, Fred, are we officially canning Fridays?
That's a show.
Well, right now for Fridays, you'll hear a replay of our Thursday show.
Yeah, so we're canning the whole Patriots Friday thing.
Yeah, all we're doing is getting the recordings and posting
them. Putting them on Patriots.com.
Right.
Player interviews. Yeah. Okay.
It just doesn't make sense, right?
No, I agree
with you.
We're
not going to stream out WAAF.
I didn't realize that was part
of baseball.
That's part of EEI. They just decided to put them on because they don't want those interviews.
They don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't argue there.
But isn't that, you know, that's, I just think that if they were good interviewers, they would be better. You know?
That would help.
Yeah.
Engage, you draw out.
Basically,
of your
they've given up. They've given up. We can't get these guys to say anything. Well, Will Fork is on Mondays, right?
Yes.
So who do they have on Fridays? It's they usually bring the linemen in.
It's like Ninkovich, Mankins, and that crew, isn't it?
You can't tell them that, you know, you can talk about some other things besides football and make it entertaining sometimes and laugh and
like when they come into this studio in the off season.
It's all about the interviewer.
We're not asking them how they're going to line up and, you know, and hand in the dirt. We're talking about other things. We're getting to know.
It's getting to know.
And once in a while,
tried to get today, didn't happen.
You know,
I was trying to go after Who Man
because of our demeanor. We were able to get Chandler Jones to tell us about how much weight he's put on and all that stuff.
By the way,
that's
interesting. Back on some of that.
No, but
he's trimmed some of the weight he put on. He was a little heavy.
That's what he said.
Yeah,
that's funny.
But the point is, you know, Ninko and Logan, they can be good interviews, you know.
Of course. I think Logan's one of the better interviews.
I don't know what EEI's thinking. I don't know why they put those interviews on AAF. Makes no sense to me.
It's because they're contractually obligated to keep them, right?
Well, they're paying for them, yeah. And they have a 2-year deal, I think, left. So this year and next year, maybe? I'm not sure. But it's just not good for Patriots fans, you know, because now there's no reason for EEI to talk football on Friday. They're going to be talking Red Sox and We heard
there is a reason. It's called a game on Sunday.
Right. Well, yeah,
and they'll be talking about
pretend. That never did anything for them.
Mike
before.
Salk likes football. Mike Salk will talk football.
We got a lot of complaints last year that, you know, they're talking Red Sox.
Mike
again.
Salk wasn't there last year.
You know, well, maybe it'll change. I don't know. You know, but we're not going to stream out AAF all day Friday. That's for sure.
And you've put your foot down. You're not doing a Friday show.
We
it's
will
not
have,
your contract anymore.
We will have the interviews. We'll post them on Friday so you can hear them. You know, we'll get the part that Patriots fans need. But guess who just walked in the door?
Vi Sikahema.
Stepping inside the playbook.
Yes, John Rook. Hey, John.
Woo!
Welcome back.
What day is it?
Hump day.
I thought somebody would do that.
Wait.
I'm just I want to nitpick. Just join the club.
I thought you were trying out a new thing that you were going to reveal on game day.
No, he didn't know what day it was.
No, I guess
I didn't know. I wanted him to do nitpicks.
I didn't know.
Are we going to do season opening nitpicks?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we have
to. Is there something wrong with your glasses?
Yeah, they broke.
Oh.
So I you know, I put the little
tape.
Yeah, absolutely. Across the bridge of the nose.
Well, you do have
tape. Exactly
on
right.
There.
Yeah, I had to.
So John, how
it's
you doing?
Scotch tape.
Wait
though,
a
so
second.
It's
can I see? There we go.
What the hell?
You like John has headlights on his glasses.
Yeah, that's good.
That's no.
That's aren't you supposed
good.
To put masking tape?
Not geek alert! Geek alert!
total geek alert.
Do you have high beams for those? Or
no, no high beams. Just low beams only.
Where's your pocket protector for your pens?
It's I left it in my pants pocket.
So now when your eye, now when you're with a good looking girl and your eyes stray, she really knows.
Correct.
You know.
Everything
you light them up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We light it
light
all
up.
We just spot
light
them
speaking of high beams.
Up.
So the last
Hump
time
day.
I saw you, John, you were inducting Teddy Bruschi into the Patriots
Cleveland
Hall of Fame.
That was a lot of fun, wasn't
it?
That was a lot of fun. It was a great day.
He's still speaking,
I think his speech just ended.
I think he's still
speaking. Yeah, I know.
He actually said, give a round of applause, John
Rook. To John Rook.
Actually, I don't think he ever knew that Coach Belichick was standing over in the wings waiting all that time. Otherwise, I'm certain he would have sped up the process.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he would have kept talking.
I'm not so
sure. Oh, you
sure
think he would have kept going?
Right, yeah.
I'm going to get back at you
that's
after
right.
all these years.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and very deserved for both him and for Gil, and a lot of fun to be a part of that.
Yep. So how's your off season been?
You know, relatively uneventful. Very happy that football season is back. You know, I share, I think, and we'll probably spend the next couple of hours, you know, sharing with a lot of the fans that listen to the program. I share a lot of people's sentiments over, you know, the off-field transgressions that, you know, transpired over the year, and not going to try to spend a whole lot of time dwelling on that because there's nothing you can do about it. In fact, I've been thinking of another segment for the program. Probably we'll call it "It Is What It Is."
Yeah.
And it just, you know, very creative. It is what it is. And there's really not much else that you can do with things like that, especially with all of the other news stories that come out. And I have a feeling, Fred, as far as, you know, the Hernandez story is concerned, that that stuff's going to keep turning up.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and
they're going to be, like, they uncovered some different stuff today as well. So it's just going to keep coming and going. And do we really want to talk about things that we have absolutely no control over? Or do we want to talk about the football team? And one of the things that I think this program, the playbook in particular, has done pretty well, and this is, we're starting our 13th year now, as you very well know. But one of the things that we've done is we've managed.
He didn't even remember.
You were in on the beginning.
He didn't even remember that we used to do a Friday show.
Is
this,
John, I'm not counting years.
Is this mad cow disease setting in?
Long time ago.
He just lost it. All right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, though, is that we've done a pretty good job of working and talking about X's and O's and talking about the team. Yeah, we've included a little of the off-field stuff simply because if it affected the team in an on-field way, then we would might directly refer to it, or even might indirectly refer to it. But this is of a caliber that it just almost blows you away when you stop and you really think about it, that, you know, something like that, someone like that could be capable of something like that. So I choose just really not to go there. And I hope that fans will agree. And if something breaks while we're on the air, then by all means, this is where we want people to be, because we know for a lot of our listeners, the overwhelming majority of our listeners, this is how they get their Patriots fix. Whether they subscribe to PFW or whether they're searching the web for the latest stories or they're following on Twitter, if they want to know what's going on and they want to hear the talk about the team, that's why we're here, and that's why we're well into our second decade of doing it here on the website. And, you know, there's still very few other NFL teams that cover the team as well as we do, as far as I'm concerned.
People love your show. Wow. All right, so John's back at 2 o'clock. Fantasy football champs are at 4 o'clock. Get your last-minute draft questions into them. John, have a great show.
Yes, sir.
Great to have you back. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.